about.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
We're like living deja vu all over again.
Jesus H. Christ in a chicken basket.
Boys can be funny.
I don't know. I've never found a boy funny.
Well, I think boys can be funny, okay? I just think maybe they haven't had the opportunity to be funny for as long as girls have.
They were always raised to be like, oh, you look so handsome. It's like they never need to be funny.
Exactly.
I just think it's biological. Guys are not funny. It's just because they're just not.
And now, I kneel before you as a man, begging a much better man to please let me stay here and join you on this Hispanic.
You can't say BS on the radio.
I mean, you could say BS.
Right, but you can't say what you just said.
BS.
You've only been gone a week. You haven't forgotten those rules, have you?
When did that change?
You're not allowed
now
to say that.
Now they've taken that away as well?
Yes. You can no longer say the S word on the radio, Kevin. That's new.
My God. Things are so restrictive.
I know. They've cracked
down. What time did you find yourself getting up when you were on vacation last week?
It's funny because when you work, the alarm goes off and you go, no, no, no. But when you're on vacation, you wake up and you feel great.
Yeah, that is the truth.
At that time. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know why this is exactly, but then you
But you turn over, right, and go back to sleep.
Try to go back to sleep, yeah. Sometimes you go back. Most of the time you can go back to sleep for a while.
Yeah.
On and off.
Yeah, what time were you in general getting up?
I don't know. 7? No, I'd stay until like 9.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
You don't sleep very well sometimes, but you don't have to get up. So sometimes it's good just to lay there and just be able to go, you know what? Don't have to get up.
That's right.
Awake. Don't have to get up.
I know my wife thinks I'm crazy when I get up at 6:30 on the weekends, which is generally about what time I get up. And I say, but it's sleeping in 2 hours. It feels great. 6:30 feels like a vacation.
Sure.
Yeah, I get up at 7 on the weekends, and that's perfect.
7 is luxurious,
yeah.
I would say.
Exactly.
And I don't use that word very often.
So did you have a good time away?
I did. Had a good time, yes.
Did you go anywhere?
No.
Well, sometimes those are the best vacations.
I was in bed the whole time.
Yeah, I was in bed the whole time.
Sometimes those are the best vacations because I will tell you, there have been a lot of times where I have planned a vacation where I do travel, and when it gets to be time to go, you go, oh, I wish I could just stay home and do nothing.
Yeah.
So I get that. Well, welcome back. We missed you.
Thank you.
And I want to get us started on this all-new Kevin Bean Show for a Monday with a story. I think this has gone around before, but it's been a long time where we didn't talk about it the first time around. But there's a university in New Jersey, Seton Hall, well-known to college basketball fans. And they are a Catholic school, but they have a heavy metal radio program on their college station, a heavy metal show at a Catholic college.
Okay.
Well, I don't know how or who leaked the memo, but from inside the radio station studio is a list of bands that are not allowed to be talked about over the air. Below is a list of band names that cannot be said in any way over the air. They cannot be used in any stories by newscasters or in between songs by DJs. If you say any of these bands or play any of their music, you will be suspended. Please use your best judgment and always consult a manager if you have any questions. Anything with devil, Satan, God, Jesus, or any other Catholic references that are portrayed in a negative light should never be discussed over the air. But here is a list of banned bands. And I'm not familiar with some of these bands. I mean, some of them. You know, I know Alabama Thunder Pussy. I know that band for sure.
Who doesn't?
Alien Sex Fiend, I'm familiar with them. There's a lot of them on this list we can't even say, by the way. Angel Corpse, you're not allowed to play. Baby Jesus Hitler is a band that is not allowed to be played on that station. Ballsack is a very popular heavy metal band, apparently.
They are not trying to get rid of Ballsack.
Apparently, they are banned.
Come on.
Barbed Wire Condom, Bongzilla. Cannibal Corpse, you remember them? We've played some of them on our show before. Sure. Cradle of Filth, another very popular band. Let's see here. Who else is on the list? Decrepit Birth, Dark Angel, Deep Fried Abortion. No Deep Fried Abortion on the Catholic radio station. Dying Fetus, Full Blown AIDS, Goat Whore. What's Mike Catherwood going to do with no Goat Whore on the radio?
No kidding.
God dethroned, heaven shall burn, impaled Nazarene. On the Seton Hall radio station, you can't play the Jack Officers. That just seems
what?
Mean. What? Jesus Chrysler, Jesus Eater, Jucifer, Kill a Priest, Morbid Angel, Mighty Sphincter. Kevin, one of your favorites?
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous.
Nails of Christ, Nun Slaughter, Preschool Tea Party Massacre.
I'm sorry, what?
Preschool Tea Party Massacre. Pussifer, you can't play on this radio station. Rotting Christ, Scrotum Staplers, Sexual Orange Master, Smother Teresa. Apparently you can't play now. What's going on in the world where you can't play Smother Teresa?
See, people like this don't understand that when they put out a list like this, I'm going to go look now for Smother Teresa.
Right, exactly.
Because
they're doing nothing but promoting them. This is Hell, Upside Down Cross, and last on the list is Wall of Smegma. So apparently those are the artists that you can't play if you ever get a gig at the Seton Hall College radio station.
I don't know why they bother. They should just go to country.
Exactly. Yeah. It does seem like a lot of landmines they got to dodge at that station.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
That sounds great. Let me know how that goes.
All right. On the program today, we have Harvey Lib from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We have Carson Daly on the show today.
Oh, yeah.
He's that that young, good-looking guy that hosts that show on that network.
The Voice is coming back tonight.
Right. That's what I meant. Robert Patrick will be in studio. Love that guy.
That's pretty cool.
Talked to him at Comic-Con, talking about his new show, Scorpion.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. We have Andrew Siciliano in the studio talking NFL. Cardinals.
Are the Cardinals 3-0?
3-0. Undefeated.
Like Ralph's Eagles, 3-0.
3-0.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. Those two teams are going to meet in the Super Bowl.
Well,
that's
we'll
my
see.
Prediction. We also have Nick Frost in the studio, too.
Oh,
we like
the
him.
Best. Yeah.
He's the best.
Yeah.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Hey, you ought to be listening to K-Rock all this week to win tickets to Mickey's Halloween Party at the Disneyland Resort. You can go to krock.com for more information. Another chance to win. By the way, if we're giving away tickets to the Halloween month at Disneyland, don't tell me we can't be playing Halloween Spooks. Don't tell me it's not Halloween Spooks time.
It's not.
Sure, let's play it right
it's
now.
It's not, technically.
Let's play it right now.
It is not.
I think
right
maybe
now.
Later today. Maybe later
right
today.
Right now! I'm sorry, it's the 22nd of September now.
Yeah, they might have jumped the gun
the
just
date
a
today.
Little bit.
Let's play it.
Look at what
Come
else
on.
We're giving away today besides the Disneyland, though, is we're talking about the vein drain that Ralph is going to be doing with the annual blood drive.
Right. Right.
Let's play it right
but you know
now.
What? When are we doing that? When are we doing the blood drive?
We're playing
Thursday.
Halloween Spooks right now.
October
2nd.
Week
from Thursday,
week
right?
From Thursday is October 2nd.
Let's
October.
Play it.
I'm just saying Halloween stuff is on the air. That's
See,
what, that's
you're
what
not
I'm
real.
Saying.
You're not real. You're all... shouldn't we be... Yeah. So play it. Or shut up. What are you going to do?
Shut up.
You're going to stand up and be a man, or you're going to keep flapping your gums?
No.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's September 22nd.
Come on, everybody. You know how it goes. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Ghostly things are gonna happen.
Now that's a buzzer with prejudice.
Ooh ah, ooh ah. Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree. I wish that the children
could see. Electric chair remix.
I can't stand for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
Sounds good, though, when you haven't heard it for 11 months, doesn't it?
Sounds great.
Sounds good.
Except for that thing Kevin's doing.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening there. Anyway, KROQ.com for details on Mickey's Halloween Party and, of course, the Vein Drain Blood Drive next Thursday at Universal Studios with our own Ralph Garman, who joins us for the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning.
That's not annoying, right?
Kevin's back. He's rested. He's annoying. It is Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Maze Runner, as expected, came in at number one in its debut, $32.5 million. Very successful opening weekend for The Maze Runner. Right behind it was A Walk Among the Tombstones, the other brand new film with Liam Neeson. This Is Where I Leave You. The hilarious family comedy came in at number three this week with $11.9 million. Then No Good Deed and Dolphin Tale 2 were the top five movies at the box office. Guardians of the Galaxy, Let's Be Cops. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Drop, and If I Stay were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. The Maze Runner, number one this weekend, has been announced by 20th Century Fox. They're already working on a sequel, Maze Runner Scorch Trials, based on the second book in James Dashner's series. Will be in theaters a year from now on September the 18th, 2015.
I like this 1 year apart when they start doing sequels like this.
There's a built-in audience like they do for Maze Runner. They already put the wheels in motion so that they don't have to wait too long to get another film out there.
At the end of this one, they say, all right, time for Plan B. And you go, well, Plan B must be next year. Fantastic.
Scorch Trials! Did you go see Maze Runner, Ken?
Yeah, I loved it.
Did you? I liked it.
Like, I didn't like it.
You know, everyone knows you saw it in the papers. I didn't know if you went or not. Don't give me your attitude.
I went.
Get your hands off the buzzer and stop with your attitude.
I was excited.
All right, you're excited. How was I to know? Yeah, I went.
You idiot.
Bag?
Of course I went.
What's wrong with you? Everyone knows I went. It's on CNN.
I would have picked the Liam Neeson film for you, Kevin.
That would have been Mike Walk Among the Tombstones.
Wanted to go to that one, too, but I didn't have time.
Didn't have time.
Very busy.
Bean, you know that.
You know that. It was on CNN.
Come on. Ass.
President was talking about it in the Rose Garden yesterday.
Sure.
Oh, sad news. Mama June has kicked Sugar Bear to the curb.
Well, when you have as many options as she does.
Well, yeah.
You know?
When you're being courted by so many gentlemen. Yeah, the proud parents of Little Honey Boo Boo announced their split to Us Weekly magazine. They've already ditched their wedding bands, and even though they were never officially married, they did have a big commitment ceremony last May. See, you're fine until you actually make that commitment. Then next thing you know, you're off eating a stick of butter by yourself.
That's a June statement.
Apparently, Sugar Bear was trolling the internet for other women. That's what happened. Mama June found out that he was on a site called plentyoffish.com.
Who could blame him, seriously?
Yeah, I think there's plenty of fish with Mama June in that bed. you know what I'm saying? I don't think he needs to go on the internet to find that. Got that at home. Speaking of internets, another wave of celebrity nude photographs hit the internet this past weekend. Kate Bosworth, Vanessa Hudgens, Lake Bell, Mary-Kate Olsen, Avril Lavigne, Hayden Panettiere, Lily Sobieski, Gabrielle Union, soccer star Hope Solo, and Kim Kardashian were all victims of the latest wave of nude celebrity hackers.
If I'm not up to date, sorry about that, but wasn't the FBI on it? And
they're still investigating.
Weren't they, like, close to narrowing in on who did it the first time?
I didn't know about that. But you're,
I could be mistaken on that.
You're in the intelligence community.
I am.
You probably know more than I know. You're actually black ops. But the photos showed up on 4chan and Reddit were quickly removed from both sites, to their credit. They say the photos of Kim Kardashian showed no wedding ring in either of the photos, so they're not sure when they were from, what time period they were from. But as you can imagine, they're all very upset. And some people are... you know, blaming the cloud or whoever you blame with those things. And anyway, once again, my policy is don't look at that stuff because it was stolen. It's stolen goods. Don't do it, people.
I got a 10,000-word email this morning from our friend Nick.
Hey!
His thoughts on Amber Heard.
Amber Heard photos! Was he pro or con?
He's conflicted.
Is he torn?
I think he's conflicted in that he recognizes that it's wrong and hopes the people who did it go to jail, but
right.
He also couldn't stop himself from looking at it. But what he really wants more than naked photos in the cloud is to have the Playboy Club return.
What?
That was the overwhelming
report.
I'll forward it to you, Ralph, so you can get up to speed
where
it's coming from.
I'm all full up.
He's hoping the Playboy Club with Amber Heard returns.
I find that hard
and
to believe.
And he sure hated that machete kills. I found that out again today, too, yeah.
You'd think you would have mentioned that.
I know, right?
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Dodgers legend Tommy Lasorda is 87 years old today.
Yeah!
He's going to party.
I'd like for Tommy to see one more World Series for the Los Angeles Dodgers before he goes.
Sure.
This could be the year.
I think he's going to party with Glenda first. Nick Cave, singer, songwriter, 57 years old today. Joan Jett turns 56. Actor Scott Baio is 54. Bonnie Hunt, the actress, is 53 years old. Actress Billy Piper. Oh, Billy Piper. You remember her from Doctor Who.
Sure.
Yeah, she's cute.
She's the real deal right there. 32 years old today. Laura Vandervoort, Supergirl, 30 years old today. And Tom Felton played Draco Malfoy from the Harry Potter films. He's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Carson Daly will be joining us in minutes to talk about the return of NBC's The Voice tonight and actor Robert Patrick just after 7. He's on that new CBS show, Scorpion, Don't You Know. That's all coming up here on KROQ. First, though, Monday means we check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, how you feeling this week, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Good. You. You were a little under the weather last Monday. Happy to see you have recovered. A lot of stuff going on the site as usual, including the most bogus lead story you've ever posted, Harvey.
Tell me.
Male celebrities need to worry about their naked photos in the cloud. Come on, man. Who cares?
Why do you call that bogus?
Who cares? Because no one cares. No one wants to see them.
You are the biggest misogynist I think I've ever talked to.
Wait. Let's reverse it then. Do people want to see that?
Yes.
People want to see that.
Maybe
it's just people don't want to see you and I.
Is it 99%?
That's real itself.
Harvey, 99% of the internet is people putting up sexy pictures of women.
I understand. But here's the thing. There are a lot of male celebs in town who are really, we've made a bunch of phone calls over the weekend. They're really upset and they're talking about this because it's all been women. You're right. It's all been women. But they are convinced. And they're taking steps now because what's happened is there is some evidence that it's not the celebrities' phones that are getting hacked. They're the phones of, you know, romantic partners they've had and even reps where they're compromising it. So what's happening is that a lot of the male celebs are saying, look, it's only a matter of time, so they're fanning out, they're talking to people they've been with before who might have these pictures, they're getting off the cloud, they're doing all sorts of things, but there's actually, there's panic going on right now. Because this is just, it really has just gotten out of control.
How many happened this last time?
Oh, God. I mean, even this weekend?
Yeah, just spitball.
Like eight?
Eight, yeah.
Including some that we have not seen before, like Amber Heard, right.
And new pictures, and there are other pictures of Rihanna, and it really has gotten crazy. And, you know, meanwhile, Apple's saying, not us, not us, not us.
Right. What do you know about the FBI investigation into these leaks in recent weeks? Are they any closer to finding out who's doing it?
They're not telling us, but they're definitely on the hunt. As far as we know, they haven't caught anybody yet. Usually when they do, we get wind of it, but they haven't.
All right. Let me ask you one more question on this, and then we'll move on to TMZ in the news over this the Ray Rice defense, which I just think is hysterical. Who do you think would be the most sought after male celebrity to end up naked in the cloud? I mean, would it be an old school guy like a Clooney or a Pitt, or would it be like a Robert Pattinson or somebody like that?
It would be Sugar Bear from from Honey Boo Boo. Let's be honest.
I really don't know because it hasn't happened, so we have no idea how any of this stuff resonates. I mean, it's all been women. And, and I think it's just a general, whenever this happens, there's, kind of blind curiosity and panic.
Probably Ryan Gosling, I bet. That's my guess.
That'd be a good one.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, Kevin mentioned Sugar Bear, so let's handle that. What's going on with these crazy kids, and how awkward is it going to be on the set of the Honey Boo Boo TV show now that they're separated?
Honey Boo Boo. That's funny. It's actually a shot in the arm for the TV show because we've talked to people at TLC and they've told us, look, the show kind of hit this wall and it wasn't going anywhere really. And now they've got all these new storylines because, she's going to probably move 80 miles away with the kids. He's going to have visitation. They're going to go back and forth. She may start dating.
She's on the market. I got dibs.
All sorts of stuff can happen.
I wonder if it hadn't been for this TV show, if Sugar Bear never would have had the nerve to troll online for additional women.
I don't know, but, the best part is just, the profile, ambitious somewhat.
Oh, that's what he says in his dating profile?
Yeah.
Somewhat.
That's awesome. Great.
On good days.
All right.
And finally, we have to revisit the Ray Rice story only because the story that you posted at TMZ.com, Harvey, that Ray's defense is that you guys edited the tape is one of the craziest things. But for folks who just hear that headline and go, well, if the tape was edited, that sounds reasonable. Explain what you did before you posted the video.
This is amazing. So when we posted the video, it was jerky. And the raw video, because of the way it was recorded in the elevator, it would go forward 5 or 6 frames, and then it'd go in reverse for a frame or two. And it was very difficult to watch. So we just took the reverse shots out so everything moved forward. Now, what Ray Rice is lawyer was saying, well, the tape was edited. Well, yes, it was. And by the way, we said it was in the post. But had the lawyer scrolled down, he would have seen that we posted the raw video on the site. So
you posted both of them.
Yeah, the raw video has been available. You never saw the edited version without the unedited version on the site. The unedited, and it is an authentic version. I mean, the only thing we took out was the reverse. I mean, I don't know what he plans on arguing because it is what it is. I mean, it's not like, well, what, she knocked him out?
Yeah. And then you somehow made it look the other way around? That's crazy.
Now, I will say this. This dude, this lawyer, is almost a Houdini. That, you know, he's almost miraculous what he did with Ray Rice. I mean, he got very close to a tiny light slap on the wrist were not for getting the video, because in the criminal case, I mean, it's shameful what happened. And, you know, the DA always objects to getting this kind of intervention where he doesn't know, he avoids jail and avoids everything else. They always object, but the DA held it himself. For some reason, the DA just let him do it. And on the NFL side, a total slap on the wrist. So this lawyer,
absolutely,
who was all over this thing, I mean, there's a great story on ESPN, Outside the Lines, that it's like 35 pages long. But it really does chronicle everything that happened, and it is shocking. And what this lawyer did was nothing short of miraculous.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing that the lawyer had going for him, though, is that Ray Rice's wife would not testify against him, and that was the linchpin of the prosecution's case.
Baloney. I mean, see, I got to tell you, that's BS. In February, we got the outside elevator video.
Right.
How much more do you need to know when you see him dragging her out of an elevator unconscious? See, everybody's talking. I mean, look, the video that we got inside is very dramatic and shocking. But seriously, if you saw this guy dragging her out like a sack of potatoes, you know, how much more do you really need?
So you think they should have been able to convict on that even if the wife wouldn't testify?
Well, I will say this. Not only to convict, the DA had the inside elevator video. The DA who did this, the DA who let him skate, the DA who essentially let him plead to what amounts to a misdemeanor that's going to get erased from his record, that DA saw the interior elevator video. As for the NFL commissioner, you know, in this news conference on Friday, I had my guy ask him, weren't you at all curious on what the inside of that elevator looked like? You could have gone to the casino and just looked.
Right.
And his answer was ridiculous. The answer was, well, we saw the outside when you guys posted it. And it's like, dude, if you saw the outside, wouldn't that have made you more curious to see the inside?
Yeah.
And he never went to the casino. So I don't buy the fact that the wife wouldn't testify. Ray Rice was honest with the NFL commissioner when he told what happened. And the NFL commissioner, for whatever reason, wanted to close his eyes.
Harvey, you're doing great work over there at TMZ, and I mean that. TMZ and TMZ Live air throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. And congratulations, TMZ Sports has a new home. Starting next week, you're going to be appearing nationwide on the Reels channel. Well done, Harvey.
Thank you very much. We're excited about it.
Thank you, man. Talk to you soon, man.
Okay.
This Carson Daly's on my last nerve. I got to tell you guys.
Why? What's wrong?
I used to like Carson until he started cheating on his listeners, pretending to do the show from Los Angeles like he should be at Amp Radio, and instead doing it from New York. And look, if you can't live in the city where you do the radio show, Carson, you shouldn't be on the air.
You're the Jackie Robinson of this. Are you kidding me?
Here's here's the thing about Carson. 6:30 in the morning, we're just waking up. Carson's already done a TV show. He's doing one radio show right now, and he's talking to us on our show. That's how busy this guy is. How are you? How are you keeping all these plates in the air, Carson? You doing okay?
I never would have done any of this if I, you know, I operate out of fear because I know I'm really just a radio DJ, and I've been extraordinarily lucky in TV, and it all could go away tomorrow. So it's just like, I'm at the craps table in Vegas, and I just haven't crapped out yet, but it'll happen.
It'll happen soon.
You know, it's one thing, you know, I have the Today Show on every morning while I'm doing this radio show, and it's one thing to see you in the orange room reading your little tweets, but a lot of times you're behind the big desk, in the chair, being Matt Lauer, and that's what concerns me. In the event of a 9/11 in the future, I don't want to get the news from you, Carson.
It concerns me, too, but it makes the junior college I went to extraordinarily happy.
I bet it does.
Have they named a wing after you?
I don't think they have a wing.
Oh, okay.
College of the Desert. It's true, though. It is pretty crazy. There's times where, like, if Matt Lauer gets sick, and, you know, often it'll be at the last minute, you know, because he rarely misses shows, but it's not uncommon for me to get a text, you know, at like 8 or 9 o'clock at night, East Coast time, and they're like, you know, you're in for Matt tomorrow. And I'll just immediately start to – I have to make myself throw up to get all the vodka that I've just consumed out of my system.
Right.
I mean, look, it's one thing to fill in on a dinky morning radio show, but when you're filling in on the Today Show, I mean, you literally – you're interviewing the Secretary of State. You know, you're interviewing terrorism experts. I mean, that's a real job.
I think that's been the hardest thing for some people who just, you know, have known me, you know, for being at TRL and kind of a music guy. But there's – I don't know. It feels kind of natural at this point. I mean, I'm 41. I have a family. I've got three kids now. I feel like I've grown up with a generation. And after doing it for a couple of weeks, you know, reading social media and stuff, I think a lot of people are like, you know, it was really jarring at first, but like, now I can kind of see it now. So,
Are you?
Do you think it has served you well that you have quit The Voice so that you no longer have to host that as well as everything else?
Well, no, I haven't quit The Voice.
You're still hosting The Voice as well?
Do you remember season one, Kevin, when you're like, dude, big mistake. Why would you do another Idol? That show is going to suck. None of them do well. You're an idiot.
Yeah, I do remember saying all of that, yeah.
And now this is season 7, yeah. And I've been on The Kevin and Bean Show every premiere episode like I am right now to tell you to suck it. You're wrong.
And you remind me every time, and you're absolutely right.
Mark Burnett is the genius behind The Voice in the United States, right, Carson?
He is. The format was discovered really by some folks at NBC, and it was in like Norway, and they had American Idol and X Factor on in this Scandinavian country, and this particular chair turning coaches not judges format was beating them all. And so they grabbed Mark Burnett, you know, who's just puts on, you know, big epic television.
Right.
And they ran to the United States marketplace with it right before X Factor got here. So, yeah, Mark was early on.
And the reason I bring up Mark's name is I wonder because the secret of The Voice, I think the reason why it is so successful where those other shows are no longer that popular, is that the coach's chemistry is just one of those intangibles that works every single season. Even though you rotate people in and out and bring on new people, it's always so entertaining. Yeah, we want to see some good singers too, but even if the singers suck, it's so great to watch Blake and Adam together or to watch now with Pharrell and Gwen. I mean, how is it they're able to put those disparate people together and always have it make good TV?
You're right, I think, and thank you. I mean, I think that's a big part of the show. It's not one of the things, and we do. I mean, I'm a producer on the show. We spend hours. You know, we're shooting season 8 soon. The show is on NBC all year long. It's a machine. Over 500 people, you know, are on the staff now. So it's something that we talk about. But it's really just like if you're making, you know, a dinner party, you know, and you're like, well, how would this person get along with this person? Well, you know, like in the case of Pharrell and Gwen, for instance, Pharrell wrote Holler Back Girl,
right,
Gwen Stefani, when it came out 10 years ago. So, like, they've got history. Gwen's been in a band with all boys for 20 years and has three boys. So we thought, well, she's awesome, and we all, you know, I knew it, and a lot of people knew it. So basically it's just kind of like hand-picking going, you know what, this would be an awesome dinner party, or these would be cool people to take a road trip with. They'll probably be good coaches. And with even Shakira or Usher or Pharrell or Christina or CeeLo, I mean, the people that we've picked, the real commonality is that, honestly, they're just good people. They're not egomaniacs. They're not a-holes. They all are at the highest level of music, but none of them really like, you know, singing karaoke shows. But this one they all buy in on, and that's the difference.
How is Pharrell? How is Gwen when dealing with the singers? I mean, do they seem to have a real rapport? Are they great at it?
They are great at it. Like, she said she wanted to throw up the first day we shot the blind auditions because she was so nervous. And to her credit, she really just likes the show. She's watched it. But then all of a sudden, like, when we were shooting the blind auditions and she started turning her chair around and there were multiple button pushes, and now, you know, they're kind of fighting for the artist, she just came right out of her shell. I mean, she also is just, you know, offering, you know, she has, like, clothing lines, and she was getting out of her chair and, like, going up on stage. And it made Adam and Blake go, wow, we have to kind of step up our game.
We're talking to our friend Carson Daly here on the Kevin and Bean Show about the Season 7 premiere of The Voice, which happens tonight on NBC at 8. We talked about the coaches a little bit. You've got some new season advisors this year, including Stevie Nicks. Also, Gwen's husband Gavin is going to be doing it. I want to know when Taylor Swift's going to be on my TV, Carson.
I don't know what the deal with Taylor Swift is, but I think she's going to be on your TV screen. I hope she is. We've decided to do this, you know. By the way, I should just say, like, our coach, season two of this show, we hadn't won an Emmy. It didn't quite have the critical acclaim that it's earned now after, you know, six, seven seasons. And it was kind of hard to get coaches. Most A-listers were like, that's going to ruin my career. I don't want to do it. And now we have the exact opposite problem. We have everybody beating down our door to be a part of it because they realize that it could help them out. So in a good way, like, we had Chris Martin from Coldplay, who just is a fan of the show and wanted to be a part of it. So we created basically an all-encompassing, like Yoda, like, you'll be a coach to all the coaches. You'll be like an advisor to everybody. And we created that position just because, like, you know, Chris Martin would do it, you know, and it'd be the same thing with a Taylor Swift. So I think you'll see T-Swizzle.
Do not say T-Swizzle. That is not acceptable.
I'm down with Carson.
Acceptable to Carson.
All right. I listen to K-Rock and I hear him say it.
Last question for you. We were very excited when we saw the news last week that you and your old friend Jimmy Kimmel are going to be producing a new TV show that it's going to be coming to ABC. Carson, this sounds like it's going to be awesome. Tell folks who maybe haven't heard the news yet.
Well, Jimmy and I go, as you guys know, we go way back, and we, you know, we started our career in radio. He is, you know, and always has been a big mentor to me. He is the skipper to my Gilligan, if you will. And we always have been, you know, we're radio geeks, and we find ourselves every time we're together just telling old radio, you know, between the two of us, we've worked at 10 different radio stations. He, of course, had been fired from every single one.
Sure.
And we just started writing all these ideas down, and then later in our careers, we sort of circle back with the idea of this. You know, radio stations are such a rich setting. I mean, like a WKRP for comedy. And we had this idea. We pitched it to ABC. Jimmy's going to write it. And lo and behold, they're totally into it. And we're, like, just super excited.
And this is going to be like a TRL-type VJ who loses his job on television and has to move back home and live with his parents, right?
Yeah, I think it's kind of loosely based on, like, if, like, after TRL, you know, nothing else had ever happened for me. You know, the idea that I had to move back into my parents' home, and, you know, in my room is still right where it was when I grew up. You know,
my mom
kept it all pristine. And then I also, in my parents' house, I see, you know, I'm reminded by the success that I had, you know, maybe giving, like, a Grammy to Bono or whatnot. And it's real sort of dire straits, but really just it's kind of a classic idea for a sitcom of just family moving back home and being that the idea of that everybody's so obsessed with becoming famous and making it. And I think we're going to find some heart in this show with being, you know, a big fish in a small pond and just kind of doing things for the right reasons, which is a rarity these days.
A lot of times stuff like this can take forever. Do you have any idea when we might be able to see that?
Well, it took No Doubt, I think, literally 10 years to win Best New Artist at the Grammy. We've been working on it for, like, I think over 8 years at this point. So
okay.
it already feels like that.
All right. So 2018, 2019, basically?
It's looking like 2020. We'll round it up.
All right.
That sounds great. Well, listen.
Maybe next fall.
We know you have 10 other radio shows to go do, so we'll let you get off the phone. But we're very excited to the return of The Voice tonight on NBC at 8 o'clock with our friend Carson Daly. Talk to you soon, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Bean, thanks for the support, Kevin. Suck it. I'll see you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55.
Is that what I'm talking about? Nick Foles jersey you're wearing there, Ralph?
Saint Nick.
Saint Nick.
He is the man, by the way.
It's funny. He still looks like he's in high school.
He's one of the men.
He's so young. He just looks.
He is a youthful.
He looks like he's maybe grade school, even. I'm not sure.
But he is one tough mofo.
Yeah. He sure is.
He got crumpled several times yesterday and just kept getting up.
What about that brawl, by the way? Don't you expect to see that in, you know, peewee football? You don't expect to see grown men get involved in a fight like that.
Oh, I beg to differ.
If you see Hard Knocks, there was a lot of that going
on. Yeah, but knowing what the fines are going to be like and knowing what the blowback is going to be, you think that there'd be a little bit more self-control to not pile on in a
situation
like that.
Spoken like an Asperger's victim. You have no idea the emotion of what's going on. You see your brother getting cheap-shotted across the field there. You see him get just leveled by some cheap-shot artist.
Awful.
You get fired up and say, that's my man, that's my boy, I'm going to protect him, and you go after that piece of S.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened.
And emotions run high on the football field, and those guys were for real.
I'm surprised it didn't have more.
Me too.
This is violent that game
is. Every time I got hit, I'd get up off the turf and I would hit the guy back every time if I played football.
And there's so many cheap shots that don't get seen or called.
Absolutely. I would be furious all the time.
Well, we'll talk more NFL later on with our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. Also, actor Robert Patrick on the program today. Actor Nick Frost is going to be here. Ralph's got the showbiz beat now on a Monday.
Why don't those guys just make nice and shake hands and have a cup of tea?
A spot of tea.
Ugh. Hey, by the way, speaking of Bean and his insanity, can we put some sort of moratorium on Bean asking unrelated Taylor Swift questions to our guests?
This was completely related. She is a coach on The Voice this season.
Yeah, but...
Yes, Ralph, yes, we can. We have to.
When am I going to see Taylor Swift on my TV?
We have to.
It's Carson Daly. He's got a lot of good stuff going on.
Promoting The Voice. She's one of the advisors this season. That was a completely legitimate question.
But why don't you ask that of someone who isn't Carson Daly, who has 9 million interesting things going on?
Or email him.
Yeah, maybe he could tell you on the slide.
Twitter.
You were gone, Kevin, but we had Hannah Simone from New Girl on the show.
Right.
Talking about the new upcoming season of New Girl.
Right.
A lot to talk to her about.
Sure.
This is what we get. Did you remain friends with Taylor Swift when she was on your show?
He did not say that.
He did.
No.
And you could hear the awkwardness in her voice. She was like, we never really were friends. She did the show.
Did you ask that, Bean?
We were talking about guest stars on The New Girl. And that
I don't understand all the blowback about Taylor Swift to you. Then the whole thing became about Taylor Swift.
Oh. As it should.
I'm just saying something's got to be done.
I agree.
SEAL Team 6.
Double tap?
Double tap.
I'm going to ask Robert Patrick.
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
Thank you. At least you admit it now.
I'm going to ask Robert Patrick next hour what his favorite Taylor Swift song is.
Yeah. We'll see if you're going to do that or not.
It's a Monday morning.
Ralph and I are going to put our heads together. We're going to come up with something.
There's only some way to keep people from doing that. Today, let me do some showbiz news. Top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. Here's what came in at number one. The Maze Runner. $32 million made it number one in its debut this weekend. Pretty strong debut. I wonder if Taylor Swift went to see it this weekend. I wonder what movie she went to see. I wonder if she puts butter in her popcorn. I don't understand all the blowback.
Ugh. Does she put butter halfway down and then load some more popcorn in her?
I wonder if she gets a suicide at the soda fountain. A Walk Among the Tombstones in its debut, $13.1 million. This Is Where I Leave You in its debut, made $11.9 million, made it number three. No Good Deed, Dolphin Tale 2, Guardians of the Galaxy 6, Let's Be Cop 7, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came in at number eight. The Drop and If I Stay were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tom Felton, Draco Malfoy. From the Harry Potter films, 27 years old today.
Does he know Taylor Swift?
No, I wonder if he ever. I wonder if Taylor Swift ever saw him in a Harry Potter film. Laura Vandervoort, Supergirl at one point on Smallville. Now she's a vampire werewolf.
Not sure.
Dracula, Frankenstein, creature from the black lagoon. Not sure what she's doing, but she's one of those. Billy Piper from, of course, Doctor Who and Secret Diary of a Call Girl, 32 years old. Bonnie Hunt's 53. Scott Baio's 54. Joan Jett. I love Joan Jett. She's 56 years old.
She loves rock and roll.
Wow.
Nick Cave. How did Nick Cave ever...
Come on.
Don't come on us. You come on.
57 years old today. Tommy Lasorda, Dodgers legend, Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah!
87 years old today. You're right, Beer Mug.
It is funny to feel and hear him come to life all of a sudden out of a coma.
Ninja Turtles and Tommy Lasorda. The only two things I've ever heard him get excited about. That and food,
donuts.
Of course. Donuts, yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as B.
I think autumn starts. Is it tonight, you guys? Is tonight when fall begins? Tomorrow's the first full day of fall, which means that Halloween is right around the corner, and K-Rock has given away tickets to Mickey's Halloween Party at the Disneyland Resort. We've got those for you on this morning's program. Give you a couple chances to win. Plus, you go to krock.com for more info and another chance to win as well. It's 7:07.
You guys ever think we'll get to the part to a place where they don't have to make announcements before a movie that you should turn your phone off?
That'll never happen.
No,
I think we're getting further away from that time.
Yeah, I agree.
It's going to have to be announced during the film. They're going to have to stop the film and put up a little slide and say, hey, a-hole, turn off your phone,
Because they usually have like some kind of animated thing up there. They go, oh, turn off your phone.
Not enough.
Don't disturb other people. I always think, who are the people that don't get that?
More and more every day.
I'm at the Maze Runner this weekend, and the guy next to me gets a call. And we're going to play a new game. I'm going to give you guys $100 of my own money.
Whoa.
If you can guess the embarrassing ringtone.
Oh, wow.
So not only did the guy have the phone on, it rang during the movie. Mm. Now, this is the important part. Took the phone out of his pocket.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. And looked at the screen, and it continued to keep ringing.
He didn't even
silence the ring just to look at who it was. He let the theme keep playing, his ringtone.
Oh, no.
Yes.
By the way,
the embarrassing ringtone.
Did you give him the stink eye, I hope, appropriately?
I was fascinated.
Pelt him with popcorn?
I was fascinated by the fact that he wasn't silencing it.
There was no panic, oh my God.
I couldn't get my head around the fact, well, A, that this was his ringtone, and B, that he didn't silence it at least and then look at it and consider what he wanted to do. Should he leave? Should he answer?
He was just acting like he was sitting in his own living room and got a call.
And after it rang like three times, I just finally said, you gonna get that? I didn't know what else to say.
Good for you.
But yes, the embarrassing ringtone.
Did he apologize? Was he embarrassed?
Nope.
Did he?
Not a bit.
No.
Not a bit.
Yeah. Was he alone?
He looked at me like I was a dick. He was alone.
Of course. Yeah. You're the dick.
He looked at me like I was a complete dick for saying something.
Strike me as a loner thing.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you a hint because this is $100 of my own money. I don't really want you to win it.
Well, then don't give us a hint.
All right, dumb. I'm not going to give you a hint. It is a song that you all know.
All right.
You're all completely familiar with.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to tell you.
All right.
That's all I'm going to tell
you. And it's a song. It's a song.
Yes. Okay. And obviously it's something that you wouldn't guess would be a ringtone because it was the guy's ringtone.
Guess the ringtone. It's a song. It's not like a video game.
No,
it's actually a song that was played on the radio. A hit record?
Yep.
A hit record.
Give each one guess.
One guess for $100.
I'll throw it out there.
Okay. All right, and then I'm going to give you another clue, and I'll cut it down to 50.
Oh, this is a great idea. We'll get diminishing returns on the cash value of the prize as we go along.
Guess the embarrassing ringtone.
I love this game. I want to play this game every week.
All right,
Mark Burnett should make this a TV series.
Look, you're not giving us a lot to go on.
I'm not.
Embarrassing
ringtone
love song. So I'm just going to throw the first one that came to mind, which I think would be embarrassing in 2014, if your ringtone were Mambo No. 5 by Lou Bega.
Good guess.
Good guess.
That is incorrect, sir.
Incorrect.
Okay. Incorrect. Okay.
All right. I would like to take the next guess, please.
Right. Ralph, your guess?
I would say the embarrassing ringtone would be Who Let the Dogs Out?
Oh, another good choice.
Let the Dogs Out.
Another good guess. You're all pretty good.
We're circling.
These are pretty good guesses. I'm afraid for my $100.
Lisa, your turn. He took
my guess.
Well, there may be other songs.
Well, none in my head. So I'll say The Way We Were.
Jesus. Can we have Lisa not on the game show?
Should Lisa have to pay me? Yes, she should.
Yeah, so, really.
That is not the rules. I do
from
not
1974
have to pay
is Lisa's guess.
See, that would be embarrassing.
Let's go to
would it not?
Wayne has a guess.
No, what else? Was it Tootsie Goodbye by Rudy Valley? Okay.
Hey, Wayne, you have a guess?
Yes, it's Call Me Maybe.
Guess the embarrassing ringtone.
Call Me Maybe.
I will give you a clue in that's too new.
Two new.
Oh.
Okay.
So
we weren't
as off as Lisa, not that far back, but more like what Bean and I were thinking.
It's
that
not
sort of realm.
Possible to be off as far as Lisa.
Okay. There's way we were. There's no shame in Call Me Baby being your ringtone, by the way.
Yeah,
Really? Do you have something to tell us?
We don't go to Bean for shame.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that. Here's the thing. You have a ringtone. Maybe you like it. But when you're with other people and your ringtone goes off, sometimes it's very different depending on what group you're with.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes you're embarrassed by it. This person should be embarrassed all the time.
Okay.
All right. Are we out of...
You're going to give us a clue, okay. Right?
Another clue.
For $50.
As far as I'm concerned, and you know my memory.
Yes.
I believe this was a one-hit wonder.
One-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Okay.
That helps me not at all.
$50. So the way we were.
So Streisand's out, Lisa.
Streisand's out.
All right.
Put away.
All right. Guess.
Do we go back around?
The embarrassing ringtone.
Okay, yes, do I guess again?
Yeah.
I guess again. Okay. Oh, man.
And he let it ring and ring and ring and ring.
I don't think this is going to be it, but just in the parameters that you've described, I'll say the Macarena.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good one.
No. Okay.
Another good guess, though.
Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves.
Actually, I like that song.
But it was a one-hit wonder.
It was a one-hit wonder.
And it would be an odd ringtone.
It's an odd ringtone, and in different situations, it's pretty awkward.
Yeah.
Achy, breaky heart.
Achy, breaky heart.
Great guess, Lisa. Great guess.
Correct.
You want to take a couple of quick calls, too?
Yeah, sure.
Got some good ones. People calling in. Let's go to Chuck on line 4. He's in Chatsworth. He's got an excellent guest. It's right up your alley.
Because I can promise Chuck money and then not ever pay him.
That's true.
Because he's not here. Hey, Chuck.
Good morning, party people. You better pay me, Kevin.
All right. What's your guess?
It's the Vida Loca by Ricky Martin.
Oh, good guess. Mm.
Ricky Martin was not a one-hit wonder, however.
But for most people, that's the song people know.
She
bangs.
Is that your guess?
How about Carl, line 5 in Hemet?
Carl, line 5. Hi, Carl.
Good morning, party people. Good morning, Issa.
Good morning.
Guess the embarrassing ringtone.
I'm going to say Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back.
Not bad.
Oh, that's not bad either.
By the way,
that wouldn't be embarrassing, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's cool. Better than his ringtone.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, though.
Line 7, Rudy Van Nuys.
Line 7.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Then we need to go.
Rudolph Milkshake from Fleet.
Oh, sweet. That's a good guess.
Milkshake.
That's a good guess. But no. Right. All right, I'm going to play it for you, and you're all gonna get
another run at 25.
I think we're another clue.
We're sort of running late.
I don't care. I want some money.
Patrick is the next one.
I want some money. This
was the ringtone.
This is what the ringtone. This was coming out of the guy's
phone.
Was
it that timpani? Was that timpani? The ringtone?
Timpani was not the ringtone. No, it was during the maze run. Right during a very important part.
Yes.
All right,
and his phone rang, and he pulled it out, and this is what I heard.
Oh.
Wow. Okay, so now the phone's out.
Wow.
That is unbelievable. And he's looking at it.
Oh, man. And it's
letting
it
ring.
And it's going.
Don't.
And it's going.
Effing worry. Be happy.
That's, look, there weren't,
that happened.
There weren't cell phone ringtones when that song was out in the late 80s. So that means at some point, well after that song being popular, he made the choice, hey, I'm going to put that on my phone.
So this was my experience in the theater.
We got to get out of here.
And again, like, I was looking at him like, seriously, silence it. And then handle your business. I mean, first of all, you got your phone out in the theater, so it's distracting.
Glowing.
But then...
Fantastic.
Cartoon death, right?
Yeah.
It's murder the way we were, though.
Okay. Murder button.
Don't Worry, Be Happy is excellent advice for the people in the maze, however.
That's true. That's a good point.
He's been one of our favorite actors for over 20 years. Robert Patrick back on our TV tonight on CBS with a new show called Scorpion, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Mr. Patrick.
Thank you. Thank you, Bean. How are you, Kevin? Good to see you.
Good to see you.
We actually were hoping for Catherine McPhee. I don't know what happened here.
It's good to see you too, anyway. She got busy. She got busy. What can I say?
Yeah, she's in demand. We saw him at Comic-Con. We interviewed them both, but only really
I mean, let's be honest.
Well, let's be honest. I had to fight to get in that
That's
interview.
That's correct, yes.
You guys were totally, it was like you had your blinders on. You were just totally about Kat. It's
but,
fine.
Well, she is lovely.
Oh, she's amazing. Wonderful yeah. to go to work with.
So, Robert Patrick.
Yes, sir.
K-Rock. You seem very excited today. This is a launch day of a new series. You've been in this position before. You know how much is riding on the show tonight on CBS. But you know what? CBS, man, they got a track record. They got home run after home run. If you can get on a CBS procedural, you probably got a job for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I hope so. From your mouth to God's ears. CBS is so behind this show, and it's wonderful to feel the love and support from the network. And I think we got a great show. Nick Centura and Nick Wooten and the real-life Walter O'Brien, they've created a great show. And it's not just a procedural, you know. It's a lot of drama, a lot of conflict with the characters. You've got an eclectic group of geniuses.
Tell us about the genius that it is based on.
Well, Walter O'Brien is a gentleman that has a 197 IQ that's 37 points higher than Albert Einstein. And my character, Cabe Gallo, discovers him in Ireland when he hacks into NASA. And he's essentially doing something as innocent as hacking into NASA to get the blueprints for the space shuttle to wallpaper his house.
And I saw that episode. He's nine, ten
years old when we find him.
Yeah.
And this, I think it really happened when he was 13. So we made him a little bit younger for the show. But
he actually did that when
he was 13.
He actually
did it. Wow. And that's how it came to the attention of the government. And they said, well, you know, this is very intriguing. Perhaps we can utilize him. And he became a protected asset of the United States government, and he, to this day, is still problem-solving for the United States.
We were supposed to have Mr. O'Brien on last week, and he got called away on secret government business, or so he said. What a great excuse to be able to use for every appointment you missed, though, is, oh, I was doing some top-secret stuff with the government.
That's
great.
I slept in. Top-secret. You're not clear.
So, I got a call from the White House.
Right.
I can't make it.
Have you spent much time with him personally, Robert?
Yeah, I had lunch with him a couple times. And just the things that I learned from him during the talk we had at lunch was amazing. I mean, he kept pulling out his phone and showing me all this new technology he's working on with for the Navy, some torpedo he's developing, you know, and different scenarios and things that he's working on. Very intimidating, blew my mind.
I was going to say intimidating, especially for myself. If I were sitting across from him, I would feel like I don't know anything you're talking about. I wouldn't be able to have any kind of connection.
Yeah, he's actually worked really, really hard at developing an EQ, which is, I guess, your emotional quotient. You're very high IQ, very low EQ.
Right.
Usually, that's how it works.
Right.
That's why these guys have such a problem.
Being how dare you? How dare you?
That's why these guys have such a problem. In everyday life. So that's part of our story is how to help them function and give them the lateral, you know, the ability to do what they do and not let anybody bother them. And that's where Kat McPhee comes in. She actually becomes my ally in helping me filter for them for the outside world.
I got to tell you, Catherine McPhee, for me, she, of course, wasn't an actor coming up. She was a singer.
Right.
She was great. She didn't stand out at all. You know, I was a little afraid, like, oh, I hope she doesn't stand out a little bit, kind of as the non-actor of the group. I know she's done some stuff before, but she was really, really quite good.
She was. That's what I reacted from when I saw the pilot was the emotional, the heart that the story has, because it really is, you know, there's a sadness to it. These guys live a real loner kind of existence, and they're on the fringes. And through her character, we're exposed to that emotional element of the show. And it a lot of heart to it. She has a son that's a genius, and she finds out.
She doesn't even know it.
She doesn't even realize it. She's misunderstood him for years, and Walter O'Brien and his group of geniuses help her realize that, lo and behold, she's got a genius on her
hands. Did Walter O'Brien have this group of geniuses around him, or was that added for the show, for the drama?
Well, that's the neat thing about Walter. He really does. And what he has done is he realized this situation, that high IQ, low EQ, and he said, if I can figure out a way to lure them to feel like they're in a community that we can all work together, I could, you know, utilize him, and it'll be an asset for me.
That's weird, because isn't that the opposite of what he's good at? Do you know what I mean? Like, how is he the guy that brings them in and makes them feel emotionally supported and
well,
all that,
he's,
that
he,
connection?
He saw that
weakness in himself, and he developed his EQ himself.
Oh,
he actually created kind of the Walter O'Brien persona that we know now is actually kind of a character that he's become, that
is
he utilizes.
That right?
In other words,
he's learned how people are supposed to behave, and he just does that.
Exactly right. He's figured out how to make that work for him. And,
that's
and
interesting.
Develop the character himself.
Bean could do that.
We took some calls last week. This is the voice actor Robert Patrick here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about Scorpion, his new show that debuts tonight at 9 on CBS. We took some calls last week from people who are, as they say in your show, mentally abled.
Yeah.
And it is interesting how many similarities there are in their lives that are very much like people who are mentally disabled in terms of being on the margins and not understanding certain things and having to really kind of struggle your way through life. I mean, there's a little bit of a curse involved in having an IQ of 197.
Yes, very much so. And that's what's interesting to me is my character, how do I deal with that? It's sort of – I've been using an analogy of I'm Colonel Tom Parker dealing with Elvis Presley. You know, how do I give them the room to do what they do and not let people bother them? And you know, accept the fact that they are different.
Yeah, I like that your character on the show just accepts the fact, like, these guys are way smarter than me, and I'm never going to fully understand.
Exactly.
I got to wrangle them.
I acknowledge that,
yeah.
And I understand their process is different, and I try to keep all the other federal government agents, you know, around. Look, these guys are special. I know that. This is how they work. Give them the room to do it. And it's what I like about my character. He was described when I read the script as... He's the dumbest guy in the room, but he's the smartest guy in the room. You know what I mean? I mean, he's the
dumbest guy in the room, but he knows that and uses it to his advantage, sort of.
Exactly. He's surrounded by these brilliant minds, but he's smart enough to realize that they're of value. And
we have to take a quick break with our guest, Robert Patrick. Do you think anyone in the world has ever been named Cabe Gallo before? Or is this a first? Your character.
This is a first. Nick Santoro, he's an Italian, and he wanted an Italian in the show. And I said, well, I'm a very northern-looking Italian, so we'll go with that.
We'll talk more Scorpion when we return with Robert Patrick right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Robert Patrick in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've been having him on since the 90s, believe it or not. It's always exciting when we see you in a new project. Tonight you'll be on the TV with Scorpion on CBS. Hey, Robert, you were telling us something during the song there that I thought was interesting, because a lot of people, they think of these CBS shows as being older demo shows. Scorpion, I think, is something that the younger people will like, too.
Yeah, I think so. In this world of technology and all the gadgets that we have and all the gadgets that your daughters have and my kids, it's really geared towards them. And I think we're going to get a much younger demographic with this show. It's... very smart. I've been describing it as a very hip show.
Yeah.
And I think it is.
Look, it's the first generation that has grown up with this kind of technology and the ability to do stuff when they're little kids that no one else had in history.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I was watching that Teddy Roosevelt documentary recently that was on the PBS. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about all the books he wrote and all the things he did, and I thought, you know, what would that guy do if there was TV? You know, if he had a little phone he could carry around.
Probably nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd just be watching Dexter on Netflix all day.
He'd be watching Sons of Anarchy. You know.
What about, you were also telling us you got a busy week with lots of dialogue. Some of these shows can get very complicated with the scripts. Have you run into any problems with that? Are you just naturally good at remembering complex dialogue?
Well, it is work. And I really, you know, I have to really focus. I have a little bit of ADD myself, and I have to really sit down in my office and focus and memorize it. And memorizing is memorizing. We've all done it, and you just got to sit there and do it. And you really, I think, as an actor, to be confident, to get out there, you've got to know your dialogue backwards and forwards. It's the only way you can get out there and play in front of the camera. So all my work is done in my office, and when I show up to literally work film, that's where I play. But you know, memorization is memorization. You got to figure out how to cram it in there.
It is easier for other people, for some people than others.
Yeah,
it's a muscle. I will tell you this much. It is a muscle. And if I haven't done it in a while, let's say if I go like 3 weeks without working, and then you come in and you got to memorize something, a big monologue. It's a little bit more work. But
really, in 3 weeks? That's scary.
Well, 3 weeks of
three
not
weeks
working,
off?
And then you had to take a little gap, and then
wow.
All of a sudden it's harder when you go back to it.
It's
you
like
know?
Working
yeah.
out.
Yeah, and the next thing you know, it's like it is very much like working
yeah.
out. But, you know, you just got to get in there and get it into your head. And the dialogue we have on the show, we have a lot of exposition and, you know, in acting terms, you call that, you know, laying the pipe and,
yes, we have a very different understanding of laying.
Yeah,
the
Lisa's
pipe.
Taught us another term like
well,
that.
Well, I hope I didn't just say something wrong.
No, no, nope. You didn't. It's okay. Just it means completely something different now.
No, you perked our ears right up.
I heard that little ding there. All right.
Let me jeez. Play a clip from the show, by the way. I laid this down last week, and I should have listened to it again so I know how to set it up. But I think this is when you first burst into the warehouse where the team is, and you're explaining to them why you have to press the guy playing the real-life Walter O'Brien. Why you have to press him into service because there's something bad going on in the skies. So here's Robert Patrick from tonight's Scorpion on CBS.
He's Federal Agent Cabe Gallo. We worked together years ago. The outcome was unfavorable.
Put it aside, O'Brien. I need you. 45 minutes ago, there was an automatic software upgrade in the LAX control tower. It had a bug. Now the entire system's down.
Wait, all the communications are down.
Contact's been lost between Long Beach, LAX, and Burbank. Incoming flights have been diverted, but the ones that were about to start their descent, 56 of them, are out of comm range. NSA's trying to work a satellite hookup. FBI is attempting a Morse code signal from the observatory. We need you on software. Without landing guidance, those planes run out of fuel.
And crash. And crash, Walter.
Sounds like catastrophe is imminent. So go find someone else.
Uh-oh.
Go find somebody else.
No. That sounded pretty good. Yeah. I like that. I want to see the picture now.
I like the way you talk like this, Robert Patrick, when you're being all tough and badass.
Here's what I love is that you are the senior ranking official on the show.
Yes.
You make the rules. You tell people what to do.
Yes.
And yet you're not groveling, but you sort of have to like talk these guys that could or couldn't, depending on what they want. Help you.
Yeah, and
that's a rough dynamic.
It's a rough dynamic, and they're smarter than me, so I got to
right.
But the lure is it's about doing the right thing, and these guys have the opportunity to do the right thing. So you can squander your talent, or you can put it to good use, and that's what I ask them to do. And when you appeal to them on that level, they acquiesce and do what I ask. But there's some bad blood between me and Walter, as he alluded to. There,
as we find out, yeah, exactly.
There's something went wrong, and you know I've been spending the first six or seven shows that we've been shooting so far this year. Working on developing that and going for redemption, you know, in his eyes, that in fact I did not lie to him, that somebody lied to me, and you know it's an uphill battle.
You mentioned a little bit earlier in this interview, Sons of Anarchy. You were on it,
yes,
and then you were supposed to be on it again, and you couldn't because of this show.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's what happens in production. You know, Kurt Sutter and all the Sons of Anarchy guys, I had a lot of fun working with him, and that was the idea, was to bring that character back for this season. But in the interim, while they were getting that up and going, this show presented itself, and it was a better business opportunity for me, you know. And I'm very
Is
happy to be working
call
on Scorpion.
To him to say, you know, I can't do it?
I actually talked to a good friend of mine, Paris Barkley, who's the executive producer.
And, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a tough call to say, hey, man, you know, I wanted to do it, but
what a great show.
Sort of thing,
but like you said, you need to be cloned so you can do all of these.
I wish I
shows.
Could, right. Yeah, I want to do it all. And I'm very blessed. It's a nice problem to have. And, you know, hopefully I'll get to work with those guys again down the road somewhere else.
You have been on True Blood since the last time we had you in.
Yeah, so
what was
werewolf.
That experience like for a couple of seasons?
That was pretty exciting. you know, it popped up, it became available to me. I met Alan Ball, and they said they wanted to develop Joe Manganiello's storyline, mm-hmm. and they wanted to bring in a father character for him. And if you've met Joe, I don't know if you've had him on the show. He's like 6'5".
He's a monster.
He's huge.
Yeah.
And there I am as playing his father. I've never so intimidated by somebody I've worked with in a long time.
I hope you at least argued, I can't look old enough to be his father. Come on.
I got blue eyes and blonde hair. He's dark hair. Joe looked at me when he met me and he said, you look nothing like my father. Nothing like my father.
That inspires confidence. That's
yeah,
good.
Exactly. But we had fun. And that paternal part of the relationship was what was exciting was, you know, you're playing a werewolf. You know what I mean? So, all right.
So you start with that.
You start with that. So you just say, okay, forget about that. What I'm really playing is a father.
Right.
And it's about that connection with my boy. And he's going through some tough times. And that's what Joe and I tried to focus on when we were doing that. But it was a lot of fun. Those Anna Paquin, Stephen Moyer, they're all great.
Great group.
You were telling us off air about the early days in Hollywood for you, you know, living in a car, just going from play to play, job to job, and how you wanted to be able to play lots of different characters. And it has certainly worked out that way for you. I mean, just in the last 2 minutes, the different types of characters that we've talked about, just what a blessing as an actor to be able to do all those roles.
It really has worked out even better than I thought. I mean, at
the
time.
Are you crying, Bean? Did you just cry?
No, it did sound like that at the end. But no,
I'm sorry to interrupt, Robert. I just ran out of breath. Doesn't happen often.
I'm thrilled to be here to witness that. I'll tell you.
We're happy to see you having such a good time with your career. That's all.
Well, thank you, man. I really do feel blessed, and you know, I think the best is yet to come. So I'm very excited.
Well, that's
about
probably
Scorpion.
Not true. I don't think that's true.
No, I think it is.
Scorpion is tonight, 9 o'clock on CBS. Check it out. And Robert, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, guys. You guys are all right. Thank you very much.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Well, before I get to Showbiz News, I want to give away some passes to the premiere of a movie which looks terrifying. You know, we're getting close to the Halloween season. That's when all your top-notch horror movies come out. And this one, you know what scares me most in horror movies? You know, we've talked about them before.
Kids.
And horror movies scares the crap out of me.
You are all going to die tonight.
Second most scary thing?
I don't know.
Dolls.
Yeah, dolls aren't good.
Any sort of possessed doll, anything sort of inanimate object that comes to life, forget about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which brings me to Annabelle. Annabelle.
Yay!
Oh, it's a heartwarming little story about a couple that begins to experience terrifying supernatural experiences involving a vintage doll. Shortly after their home is invaded by satanic cultists. Oh, that old tale. I don't want any satanic cultists in my home, and I don't want them monkeying with my vintage doll and making it
sounds
come to
great.
Life.
It does sound great.
Doesn't sound great, Cat's Mom.
Sounds great.
For more information, go to AnnabelleMovie.com. We are giving away passes to the premiere of this movie September the 29th at the TCL Chinese Theater in beautiful Hollywood.
Do I get one?
No, you don't.
You do not.
The movie will be in theaters everywhere October the 3rd, but if you'd like to go to the premiere, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. Five callers who get through at that number will be lucky enough to get a pair of passes to the premiere of Annabelle.
That's dangerous.
It is.
You are all going to die tonight.
Satanic dolls coming to life is dangerous, Cat's Mom. You're right.
Love it.
What?
Did you guys talk to her last week?
We talked to her while you were gone. Yes.
Was there chemistry between any of you?
She does not like me, how much we know.
I don't blame her.
But speaking of movies, top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, The Maze Runner was number one in its debut. $32.5 million made it so. A Walk Among the Tombstones in its debut, $13.1 million. That was good enough to make it number two. Another movie debuting this weekend, This Is Where I Leave You, was third. No Good Deed and Dolphin Tale 2 were the top five movies at the box office. Then Guardians of the Galaxy, Let's Be Cops, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Drop, and If I Stay, top 10 movies at the box office. Did you guys watch True Detective on HBO?
Yes.
Whew, great series.
Fantastic.
I thought that was outstanding. They have finally announced they are going to follow up with a second season. And who will be in that second season? Well, it looks like Colin Farrell will be starring in the second season of True Detective.
Fantastic.
He let it slip to Ireland's Sunday World newspaper, saying, "I'm so excited. I know it'll be 8 episodes and take around 4 or 5 months to shoot. There's no official confirmation from HBO yet, but I'm assuming if Colin Farrell says he's in it, he's in it." The first season, of course, led to Emmy nominations for both Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. So a lot of actors apparently clamoring to be in the second season of True Detective.
Is time still the flat circle, though? Do we know that about season two?
It is. It is always, man, the flat circle.
Okay.
And Nick Frost, who we'll be talking to later in today's show.
Coming in today.
Has just been added to the Doctor Who Christmas special this year. Of course, that's always a big episode for Doctor Who fans when they do the Christmas special. Turns out Nick is a big fan of the show and of producer Stephen Moffat, who said in the release, "Frost at Christmas, it just makes sense." I worked with
Nick. Fantastic.
Worked with Nick on the Tintin movie many years ago, and it was a real pleasure to lure him back to television for a ride on the TARDIS. So Nick Frost will be starring with Doctor Who this Christmas.
This Stephen Moffat.
Yes.
He's the guy who runs
Taylor Swift.
He's the guy who runs the Doctor Who franchise now.
He does.
And he also is the guy who runs the Sherlock franchise as well with Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's correct, yes.
How is one guy so talented?
He's been in British television for a long time before either of those shows, by the way. He's done great, great stuff, including some awesome comedy work.
Wow. Amazing.
I believe he was behind the one of my favorite sitcoms, British sitcoms, called Coupling. I believe that was his work as well. So he's been around for a long time, and he is a super talented guy.
Very impressive.
We should have him on the phone sometime.
Yeah, seriously.
I'd like to interview him about his work, especially with Who. Speaking of the Brits, as we look at today's celebrity birthdays, I apologize. Earlier in the show, I neglected to mention that Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black's birthday is today. She is 29 years old today. See, David K. Mexico hates her, so he refused to put her on the birthday list
is
this morning.
That poo-poos right? Orphan Black at every opportunity.
So I had to find it myself and hunt it down and then put it on the list because for some weird reason, Dave Sanchez hates Tatiana Maslany.
That's uncool. She's awesome.
That's how I feel.
She
I
is awesome. He's wrong about that. She's great.
Hates her. I can tell he's not listening to the show.
Not my fault.
Draco.
I'll play that for you, Ralph.
How dare you?
Timing. Tom Felton, who played Draco Malfoy from the Harry Potter films, is 27 years old. Laura Vandervoort. She was on V. Remember she was on V? She was like this hot alien princess chick. Loved her on V. 30 years old today. Billy Piper. Speaking of Doctor Who, Billy Piper.
Yeah.
One of my favorite all-time companions. 32 years old today. Bonnie Hunt is 53 years old today. Scott Baio is 54. Joan Jett is 56. Nick Cave is 57. And Dodgers legend Tommy Lasorda celebrates his 87th birthday today. Say hi to Jane Biondi, won't you? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We'll talk NFL week number 3 with our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on K-Rock. And the actor Nick Frost joins us at 9. Kevin, you know my goal is to never have to leave my house.
Oh, I know.
So, you know, I'm looking ahead at my very busy calendar this week, and I'm going, well, tomorrow's Tuesday. I got to go to IHOP tomorrow, and then I got to go to, you know, run around to the record stores and get all the new releases. Well, maybe I don't. Maybe I call Postmates.com, or rather than not call, why don't I just enter that on my app and have them go and pick all that stuff up for me, bring it to my house. I don't have to go anywhere.
That way you can be a giant fat ass without having to move.
I'm saying thanks to Postmates, which is Uber for everything, I literally may never have to leave my house again. And that is what I have been working on. Eventually, I just want to be a brain in a jar. You guys know that,
yeah.
Right? Bastian Lehman is the co-founder and CEO of Postmates, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Bastian, welcome. Thanks for the time, sir.
What's up, guys? Thanks a bunch for having me.
Sure. It's our pleasure. You know, I got to be completely honest. I'm a guy who likes to stay current. I had not heard about Postmates until this past Friday. One of the studios used their your service to deliver some stuff to K-Rock. And I said, what's Postmates? And they told me about it, and it just blew my mind. Would you please share with our listeners what you're doing?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Again, thanks for having me. And I can let me tell you this about Postmates. It sounds insane. But it is this little magical app that sits on your Android or iPhone device and that you can just pop open that you can use to have literally anything in LA delivered to you in under an hour. We're talking restaurants, we're talking Sugarfish, we're talking Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, and we're talking any errands that you can think of from retail stores. It really is a cool thing.
So there's not really a limit on the kinds of things you can get?
Well,
is it mostly food or how does it work?
Yeah, it's a great question. So a lot of people use it for food because there is just a bunch of really, really beautiful restaurants that normally don't deliver.
Right.
And now they do deliver. So people love to use us for prepared food, but they also love to use us for, you know, a quick grocery run. So these are like the two popular items.
Wow. So how about like with the Apple Store, for instance? Let's say I pre-ordered an iPhone 6 and I get the word that it's in. It's available for pickup at the store. But I'm super busy, but I can't wait to get it. I can call you guys up at Postmates and you'll run down to the Apple Store near me, pick it up and bring it to my home?
Yeah, if you have it reserved, that's no problem. People actually use us to buy a lot of stuff from the Apple Store.
Huh.
Now with the iPhone 6, you know, the Postmates don't really like to wait in line. Think of them more of like a super powered logistics force. So the more they move, the better for them. So if the best is to have them do things where they don't have to wait a long time.
Gotcha. Now, you started in San Francisco. Is that right? When did the business get up and running, Bastian?
2 years ago in San Francisco. That was our first city.
And do you have any stories or anything you can think of that was surprising to you that somebody wanted you to deliver?
Well, we discovered prepared food as the top item by accident, really.
By accident?
The original app was, you know, it had a little bit of a different design, and we thought that predominantly stores would use it to help customers get the items that they sell to the customer's door. So really how the whole company came about is kind of because our customers hacked the system and started putting in requests for stuff to buy. And that was really like, so the whole thing kind of happened by accident.
So it sort of surprised you the way that people started using your app.
Absolutely.
Huh. You mentioned something a moment ago about delivery within Los Angeles in under an hour. How is that possible unless you've got flying cars? I mean, honestly, Kevin can't get home in an hour sometimes from K-Rock. I mean, how can you guarantee something like that?
Yeah, sometimes it's challenging. But, I mean, we're trying to do our best. The key here really is to have a lot of density, as in a lot of Postmates in the city, so that the way to the pickup is always very short and that you can, you know, use the time that you need really on the drop-off leg. But if a delivery is over an hour, well, you know, we'll happy to credit the customer and we'll take it from there.
Could I have you pick up weed?
No, but I'm telling you this. There's a bunch of people that order with it. So that's as far as we go.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
Like Uber, Bastian, are you also hiring people who want to be drivers for Postmates?
Yeah, absolutely. If anybody of, you know, your awesome listeners wants to be on the Postmates platform, students maybe, moms, it's postmates.com/apply, and you can fill out the information. We'll do a little background check, and then you can choose your own hours and you know, have a great time navigating through the city and picking up crazy items for people.
Yeah, there's no more fun than navigating through the city. That's one thing I know about Los Angeles. It's a joy to drive in. All right, people are listening to this, Bastian, and they're going, wow, this sounds like a great idea that I can have somebody else run my errands and make my deliveries. But is it cost efficient? What's it going to cost in general for somebody to have something delivered?
Yeah, of course there's a delivery fee. So the service is not free. And you're looking at a delivery fee. It starts at $5, and I think in L.A. it goes to around $20, depending on the distance. So the distance is a deciding factor. If you're in Santa Monica and if you like something from stores nearby, you're looking at $5-$6. If you're in downtown and you need something from Santa Monica, I think that's more on the $20 side,
right,
which could still be affordable depending on, you know, if you would otherwise have to travel there yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, basically what you're doing is your time is worth something also. So if I don't have to get in my car from downtown and drive to Santa Monica and back, for me, that's worth $20. So I totally get where you're coming from. All right. And you're growing like gangbusters. You started in San Francisco. You're in Los Angeles now, Seattle, New York City, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Austin, Boston, Philly. I mean, it's just crazy. You're practically nationwide in the big cities.
Miami, San Diego. We're in 14 cities now. We're launching two more next week. We're looking at Denver and Las Vegas. That's going to be interesting. And, yeah, people, we're very thankful. It seems like people love it, and we're having a great time doing it.
Write down the name Beer Mug as somebody to not respond to, as you will be. You'll be helping him die, kill himself slowly with food.
Can you imagine how much food Beer Mug is going to get delivered now that Postmates exists?
Thanks. Crazy. Can you go get something else?
All right. Postmates.com is the website. You can follow them on Twitter at Postmates. I was just excited, Bastian, when I heard about your service on Friday. I really thought this is something that we, you know, just like Uber, we didn't know we needed it until we found out it existed. And now I don't know how we're going to live without it. So I wish you nothing but success with this. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, guys. You're amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
This time tomorrow, right here on the show, actress Chloe Bennett is going to be here. She plays Skye on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
All right. That's
You're
good
with me,
deal.
Right?
Oh, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And, of course, she was great on Nashville as well. Jimmy Pardo later in the week. Actor Shane Dawson will be here. Jeffrey Tambor on the program. Anton Fuqua, the director. And Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race. So some great stuff coming up this week on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right, but let's get to what's really important, which is the Arizona Cardinals winning the Super Bowl.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Siciliano joins us from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone. What about Kevin's Arizona Cardinals who lead the NFC West? What about that?
Well, if you mean win the Super Bowl by winning a game in the building in which the Super Bowl will be played in February.
That is not what I mean, sir.
Then they won the Super Bowl.
No, no, I'm not saying they won. I'm saying it's the road to the Super Bowl, my friend.
But actually, it's not a road because, again, it's going to be in the same building.
I don't know.
They wouldn't have to leave.
All right.
Okay.
Yes, Kevin called this morning that it's going to be Eagles-Cardinals for the Super Bowl.
You realize that can't happen, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
But do you? By the way, do I realize that those two can't play in the Super Bowl or that Arizona can't play in the Super Bowl?
Arizona has played.
I know they have.
Yes, you know this.
I know they have, yeah.
And no team has ever, I mean, here's one you need to know.
No team has ever played
in its own building.
That's right.
In the Super Bowl.
That's right.
That would be the coolest
home
game to be the first.
How exciting.
Or the Niners next year when they get it in their building. Hypothetically.
Correct. So, Andrew, you know so much more about football than we do. Are you surprised by anything that has happened so far in this season? Like teams that either are way better or way worse than you expected them to be in preseason?
Take the Cardinals. They lost all these guys on defense.
Yeah.
Suspensions and injuries and God knows what. And now their quarterback is hurt. And they have a backup quarterback.
Who I've never heard of.
Who you've never heard of. Who has them winning.
Yeah.
And look, they beat a team that probably has more talent than them on the other side of the field yesterday, especially a quarterback.
Yeah, no,
and they beat
them. Yeah.
And they're good, and they're at home, and that's all that matters. They're one of the surprises. I think we all knew the Eagles were going to be better, but, you know, Ralph can't tackle everybody. They have defensive issues, and I didn't think they were going to be 3-0.
What about teams that are doing worse than you thought?
Worse than we thought.
Yeah, okay. I mean, let's talk 49ers or whoever.
Well, the 49ers, I've been telling you the 49ers weren't going to be any good this year.
Right.
The Patriots,
yes,
they won yesterday. They beat the Raiders at home. They have not lost a game in the AFC in the regular season. Granted, the playoffs are different. The regular season at home in 6 years.
Right.
But it should not have come down to the final minute.
Yeah.
I mean, the Raiders are bad at football. We went over this last week.
Mm-hmm,
the Patriots are at home. The Raiders are starting a rookie quarterback who deserves credit for keeping him in the game. But, I mean, Tom Brady's running around for his life against the Raiders. And they need a pick. When the guy, it was in his hands. Derek Carr put the ball in his hands. The guy dropped it. And then right into Vince Wilfork, who's 900 pounds. He ate the football. The Patriots won.
Yeah.
The Patriots should not have been that close. And what the Buccaneers, if it happened on Thursday, sometimes people forget it by the time we get to Sunday. The Buccaneers were what's the worst adjective you can use? Come up with one that's clean for the radio. I don't know.
The worst one I thought of wasn't clean for the radio. It involves poop in your bed.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I think we all know
that would
one.
Be an uncomfortable sleeping arrangement.
Yes.
Right.
That's how bad the Buccaneers were on Thursday. It was the least competitive showing from a professional team in the NFL that I can remember.
Yeah, it's funny because you're one of the people who has always told us that if they're in the NFL, you know, they're NFL players, they're a good team. Any NFL team can pretty much beat any NFL team.
And that's why you don't, quote-unquote, call off the dogs. Why, like in college football, you put all the walk-ons on in the fourth quarter and you tell them, don't score, we're up by 80.
Right.
We paid this team $300,000 to come here.
Right.
They're going back to their high school afterwards, be nice to them. In the NFL, it's we don't care. You're a pro. You're getting paid.
Right.
That's how bad the Bucs were. The Falcons actually took the foot off the gas in the fourth quarter on Thursday night. Yeah.
Wow.
And Jacksonville's 0-3, but no one's surprised.
Yeah.
Let me talk about a couple of controversial things that happened over the weekend with our friend Andrew Siciliano. First off, a lot of sour grapes in Denver this morning. There's an article in the Denver Post that talks about how a game should not be decided by a coin toss. And his argument is that the last two years' new overtime rules in the NFL says if you score a touchdown in your opening drive, if you win the coin toss and sudden death, the game is over. So yesterday they looked at a situation where Peyton Manning had one of the most incredible comebacks in the fourth quarter to tie the game. 80 yards he went in 41 seconds to get a touchdown.
No timeouts.
And the two point conversion to tie up the game 20-20. And then in sudden death overtime, because the Broncos lost the coin toss, he never even got a chance to go out there and play again. Is that unfair?
Yeah, he's a crybaby.
He's a crybaby.
No, the rule is not unfair. So for years, when we were kids, the rule was sudden death.
Right. Okay? I like that.
Sudden death overtime. So, because people didn't want it done on a coin flip, we got rid of that after how many ever years of sudden death overtime.
Which is the first team that scores wins.
Right.
So now they give each team a chance.
That is, unless...
Unless there's a touchdown.
There's a touchdown on the first drive. So all Denver had to do was prevent Seattle from going 80 yards. They marched down the field methodically, killed 6.5 minutes, and the defense could not get off the field. Under the old rules, the game would have ended at the exact same time. It would have been no different. The only way to make it, quote-unquote, fairer, I guess more fair, would be to do the college rules where you automatically give the other team a chance to match, like we saw in the Florida State game. On Saturday night, you automatically give the other team a chance to match.
Right.
I don't. I mean, do we really want that?
No,
I
don't.
I mean, do
you
want to put the ball on the 35 and say, yay, go, and then you get a chance? I mean, it's almost like the, hey, kids, you played soccer, you get a trophy. Yeah.
Everybody play.
Everybody's a winner. It's not, I don't have a problem with the rule in any way, shape, or form. Actually, I don't like it. I'd rather have it sudden death.
Me too.
I'd rather
Me
have it
too,
sudden
but
death.
Then it does come down to a coin flip sometimes. I mean, let's be honest.
Peyton called heads, by the way. He called tails at the beginning of the game, and he won. He called heads for overtime.
So that's on him.
And he lost.
That's on
but,
him right
yes.
there.
But what's interesting, though, guys, and I didn't know this stat until this morning, is even going back to the old rules before they changed them in the NFL in 2012, is the team that won the coin toss only won 52% of the time.
Which is why.
In overtime.
There
so
wasn't
it's still
that,
pretty even.
Right. There wasn't that big of a push. It's like blackjack. You play your hand right. Every time you're going to win, what, 51.5% or something?
Maybe, yeah.
Something like that.
Optimal, yeah.
Until the other jerk at the end of the table screws you up and sits on a 16 against a face card and you want to go choke them? That guy.
All right. Andrew Siciliano is here. He is the host of Around the League on the NFL Network this afternoon at 3. Is it 3 or is it 2, Andrew?
It is 3. It is only
3 o'clock, okay.
It is only earlier on Thursdays.
And DirecTV's Red Zone channel, of course, every Sunday. More with our guest right after this on K-Rock. Andrew Siciliano joins us Monday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Do you miss doing a radio show at all, Andrew?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I don't miss getting up as early as you guys get up.
Yeah, that still sucks.
It turns out
that's never fun.
That always sucks.
Yeah.
They say you get used to it. You don't. You hate it the entire time.
It's a great gig. We're not digging ditches. We understand how great this game is.
Oh, I get that.
Getting up. Blows.
Oh, you get used to getting up. You don't get used to hating it.
No, you know what you get used to? You get used to being tired.
Yes.
That's it. You're just tired.
You feel like you've been run over by a truck every day at noon.
But that's a pretty tiny problem.
Which you would have even if you got
Speaking
up at
nine. Speaking of things you get used to, I have to ask because it looked to me like the streak was in jeopardy yesterday on
the
Red Zone set.
What streak is that?
The streak of you not going to the bathroom during the entire broadcast, which is what, like 6 hours or something like that?
Wait, how did it look to you like that? Was he crossing his legs or what was
it? 7 hours.
Oh,
no, because he tweeted that it was mind over bladder day.
Ah.
What happened, Andrew?
That you
Did you pee under the desk? Do you have a bottle?
Cup?
Nah, it's over.
Oh!
It's over.
You lost?
The streak is over!
I lost.
You had to run?
What happened?
So yesterday...
Were you stupid enough to leave your microphone on?
No, I don't know. Well, no.
While you ran into the bathroom?
I got to the bathroom and back before we had to change games.
Okay.
But it was... So I was going for... I mean, the Dolphins, the 72 Dolphins had a perfect season.
Right.
And the Patriots did.
Right.
Almost. Not really. Almost.
Close.
Right. So yesterday would have been my 16th consecutive week without going to the bathroom. Stretching over two seasons, we would call Elias to see if that would actually count. But hitting streaks, like in baseball, do count from one season to the next.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I blew it.
And you just blew it.
What happened?
15.
Did you have a big gulp on the way to work or something?
No, well, I always do. I always have a 5-shot Americano on the way to work, and then I drink 2 more cups of coffee during the show. So
sure.
I probably have 9 shots of
But
of
usually you just sweat it out.
I sweat it all out under the TV lights. And I had not used the can during the show since week 4 of 2013.
Wow. Did people start tweeting, how come we're still on this game?
No, that's how fast. It was your Cardinal game, and it was a long drive, and we stuck with it, and thank God Drew Stanton kept completing passes because I was able to get there and get back. It's only like 50 feet down the hallway, but yesterday would have – honestly, I cannot tell you how – angry. Actually, there's another word that starts with a P that fits there.
Sure, yeah.
I honest to God, wanted 16 straight for a full season.
Okay.
And I was so freaking angry.
Okay, but can I tell you something? No one else cares that much.
It's the only thing I get on Twitter that, and get off this freaking game because it sucks. You must have bet on it.
Well, I'm sorry, but you could start a new streak next week, though.
It's going to take another year, though.
It is,
I know.
At least.
Hey, let's talk about a couple of other things that happened at the NFL weekend. One of the craziest trick plays I've ever seen in my life happened in the Cleveland game.
Now, I didn't Hoyer see
to
this.
Manziel. Please explain this one to us for folks who didn't see it.
Okay, so Johnny Manziel had come in the previous play, and like he did the week before, he just handed it off.
Came in one play, handed it off, ran right back off.
So he ran right back off, except he didn't run off the field. Uh-huh. He got right to the edge of the field.
Right.
And he seemed to be arguing with the offensive coordinator. It was all play acting.
Back turned to the action. Right.
Offensive coordinator has his hands out, like, what the heck are you doing?
Right.
You clearly just screwed that play up, so the cameras are on him. Oh, we got to fight. Johnny, football's been a bad boy. Except he never ran off the field.
He's still on the field.
He's still on the field.
Yep.
So when the quarterback, Hoyer, who's now back in there, takes the snap, Johnny runs down the sideline. They throw it to him 37 yards. He catches it. Now, they throw a flag.
Because
one of the running backs lined up incorrectly. Illegal formation. Not Johnny, the running back. So they screw the whole thing up.
So it's not an illegal play.
Well, here's the thing.
Because we had that play in high school, and it worked every time.
It should have been illegal.
Why?
Because there's a rule.
Every time it works.
That you can't be within 5 yards of the sideline with your back to the field. And it was illegal.
But it's a rule that they wrote specifically to make it impossible to run
like
that
this.
Play.
That
exactly.
play rules.
Okay, it does rule.
Yes.
And you should see the close-up on the offensive coordinator, because all of a sudden, he does this. You can't even see. Like, he's waving his hand. Go, 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 go. Like that. Go, do
because,
it.
Because Manziel can't see that the ball's
right, he's got his back to the field. So they threw a flag for the team lining up incorrectly. They did not throw the flag on Manziel, but they should have. So if they had lined up well, and it had worked, they would have gotten away with an illegal play.
Oh, sweet. But that's pretty sweet.
And that's the only contribution he made.
But let me ask you a question. When we were in high school, that was fine, and no one called it, and there was no rule against it. Don't they know at this level whether that's legal or
they
not?
They have a rule against chicanery. Tomfoolery and hijinks. And they should have caught it. Look, stuff gets missed every week.
They have like a green flag for tomfoolery?
It is not. They don't have like a spritzer bottle or like a flower with the water coming out of it.
A cloud comes out. There's
the red nose.
Ballyhoo.
Right. They should.
It was awesome to see, though, wasn't it?
Well,
don't you think there should be more trick plays in the
NFL? There should
be.
Yes. And the reason why it was so cool is, again, the look on the face of the offensive coordinator. Go, go, go,
yeah,
go.
That's
like
awesome.
Moving his hand. Let's go.
Let me ask you another question based on trick plays. Why don't they fake more punts and field goals? It does seem like teams don't expect it ever. It does seem wide open every time you see it. I mean, they may not make it all the time, but you'd think they'd make it a decent amount of time.
Well, if you do it all the time, that's not really
a
fake.
Of course.
Right. So you need to lull people to sleep.
But they almost never do.
It depends.
How long has it been since you've seen a fake punt or field goal?
There was one this week.
Okay, but other than that.
Okay, other than that.
Yeah.
Right.
No, honestly, before that.
You get at least one a week. You do. You do
you
get
do?
At least one. Not in every game. I mean, across the board, 16 games, you get at least one a week. Maybe not field goal. You get fake punts far more often than you do fake field goals.
Yeah, but because you're giving up sleep. Points with the field goal. That's
right,
what, yeah.
And you're giving up points potentially with the punt, too.
Sure.
Because if you're punting, statistically, you're probably in your end of the field.
Correct, yes. That's not where you want to turn
and
it
And if you fail,
right,
then the other team gets great field position. So it's one of those where, all right, how confident are you this is going to work?
It's too risky.
Yes.
That's the problem. The downside is terrible.
Right, but we all love. Hey, the Bengals had a circus play yesterday.
What was the circus?
Okay,
what was theirs?
So they had their wide receiver, Andy Dalton, line up as a wide receiver. A wide receiver named Mohamed Sanu threw the ball back to Andy Dalton, but it hung up in the air. And so your quarterback, you're thinking, oh, my God, my quarterback's not going to jump up into the air, and this guy's going to get blasted. But the defensive back didn't know what to do because he knows he can't blast the quarterback.
Right.
But technically he could now because he's a wide receiver.
He's a receiver, right.
So he kind of had a brain cramp and like jumped up, and it was kind of like the Matrix where he got out of the way in midair.
Got out of the way of the quarterback?
Because he didn't want to hit him.
Right.
And then Dalton caught it and ran in.
Awesome.
And Mohamed Sanu is now 4-for-4 in his career throwing the ball.
Wow.
There you go.
Okay.
And on that note,
stinking fantasy team.
I am sorry to say we're not going to have time to talk about getting injured while celebrating. We'll have to save that for another time. Andrew Siciliano is the host of Around the NFL. That is going to be this afternoon at 3 on the NFL Network. And, of course, DirecTV's Red Zone channel, where he starts a new no-pee streak this Sunday. Andrew, great to see you, my friend. Thanks for coming.
King is dead.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 855.
One of our favorite actors, one of the funniest guys, and dead sexy, Nick Frost, joins us right after the top of the hour here on KROQ. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's going on?
I was chatting with Nick in the office a little bit, talking about his experience with Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very exciting stuff. He's going to be.
Did you use it all up, or will you he share some of that with us when he comes in, too?
I'm not going to tell.
Ralph doesn't care.
I really don't.
But I'm not. You got a chance to talk about Doctor Who.
I'm not going to talk about it here on the air. You guys can cover that when he comes in to interview. But I'm just saying, it's very cool.
It's very exciting.
It's very cool stuff. He's going to be in the Christmas special this year.
Oh, all right.
So I'm very excited to see that because, you know, I'm a Whovian from
you
way
are.
Back. All right, let's talk about the show business news. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday morning. The Maze Runner did very well for itself, $32.5 million.
You ever see that here?
I have not had a chance to see it, no.
You want to ask that again?
No,
I think you understood.
I hosted the panel for that show at the Comic-Con this past year. I've done it twice. I did it at the WonderCon in Anaheim and also in San Diego at the Comic-Con. So I had a chance to interview the director and the cast, and I've seen a ton of footage from it, but I haven't seen the whole film yet. I'm very excited to see
looks, it.
Though.
It's great. It looks great. It's fun. It's energetic. It keeps moving forward.
I heard it's great.
The only issue that I had was at the very end. You know how they have to wrap up every movie. Sometimes that's where things
movies
go south.
Movies need an ending.
Yes.
Yes.
This one, they took all of the minutes until 1 minute left, and then they ended the whole thing. And then they were just like, and you go, okay, right, that was the quickest ending ever.
Go home. Yeah. Then they say go home.
Go home right now. And be prepared for another one.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
They already have greenlit the sequel, Scorch Trials. Which was my radio name, by the way, back in the
80s. I didn't realize that.
Scorch Trials. Yeah, I used to work on an AM station.
How about that?
Hey, it's Scorch Trials, everybody. Ding dong, look at the time. 5 minutes past the big hour five. Scorch
I'd
Trials.
Like to hear some of that.
Scorch Trials in the afternoon. Yeah, here when you ride home, everybody. Scorch Trials. It has been greenlit by 20th Century Fox. So you'll be seeing more of the James Dashner book series. A Walk Among the Tombstones, $13 million in its debut, made it number two. This Is Where I Leave You, did almost $12 million, made it number three. The No Good Deed, Dolphin Tale 2, were the top five movies at the box office. Guardians of the Galaxy, hanging in there at number six. Let's Be Cops, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Drop, and If I Stay. Those were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Julia Roberts apparently loves seagulls.
What?
She loves seagulls. Julia Roberts does.
Seagulls.
Seagulls.
Okay.
Gulls of the sea.
Okay. And that
she
came
got into
up
a
how?
Big fight with her neighbor because one of her neighbors in Malibu had hired a falconer to come out and to scare away the local seagulls because the falcons and the seagulls are mortal enemies.
Okay. So the other person liked falcons?
No, the other person brought the falconer in to get rid of the seagulls.
Okay.
The seagulls really are the rats of the beach, let's face it.
Okay.
And they're a nightmare.
They're awfully noisy, too.
They're noisy, and they're filthy, and they poop everywhere, and they steal your food when you're eating out of doors.
So they sound bad. How does she love them?
Because she attacked the guy who had the falcon.
Really?
Yes. Went off on him screaming that whatever the bird does to the gulls, my husband and I will do the same to you, she said to the neighbor.
Sweet.
So it is on.
It's on.
It is a battle royal between Julia Roberts and her neighbors, and the falcons versus the seagulls, which I think is, it sounds like the worst gang fight ever.
It's like the best fight ever.
What a falcons versus the seagulls.
You
Hey, falcon, come here, man. Ching. Switchblade comes out. You one of those seagulls? What are you doing around my neighborhood, man? Come on, daddy-o.
You have to work at Jive Turkey.
that's another group gang from around the corner, the Jive Turkeys.
I hear a new Mike the Headless Chicken-style radio play coming soon to a radio station near you. Now, forgive me, Ralph.
I wish I could, Bean, but I've been trying for years.
How does hiring a falconer scare the seagulls away?
The falcons after the seagulls. They attack the seagulls, chase them away.
Oh, I see. So it just scares them away from that neighborhood, and that homeowner's intention is just to clear the area of seagulls altogether.
That's right. It's like putting a fake owl on your roof to scare away the pigeons. There are certain breeds of bird that do not get along very well.
Julia Roberts has to now find a bird that the falcons are terrified
that's
of.
Correct.
She needs to bring that in, like peacocks or something, just to really make it happen.
That's right. I don't know why she swallowed a fly. Perhaps she'll die. So anyway, it's on.
I like it.
That was a long way to go for that story, but
that was worth it.
Made me laugh. Just Julia Roberts screaming at the guy with a falcon on his arm.
Crazy.
Get that falcon out of here!
I like the crazy war over nothing.
Rich people's fights. Fights over whether the seagulls or the falcons win.
We may have to revisit. It's been a long time since we talked to our listeners about their neighbor fights that they've got into over, you know, somebody putting their trash can on your side of the yard or something like that. There's got to be, you know, you didn't like the color they painted their fence. I mean, I bet people have really gone to war over some tiny stuff.
I found out about the falcon thing at the Montage Resort down there in Laguna Beach.
Uh-huh.
They've got a full-time falconer as well that they use, and they send the falcons out to scare away the seagulls.
Is that right?
So they don't come to your balcony and eat your food while you're sitting out there having breakfast or stuff like that. So this scares away the seagulls. But it's a thing. Who knew? Today's celebrity birthdays, Tatiana Maslany. You know her as the brilliant actress from Orphan Black, who was sadly and unjustly ignored by the Emmys this year.
Yeah, again.
That must be fixed. Again. He's 29 years old today. Tom Felton, Draco Malfoy from the Harry Potter films, is 27. Laura Vandervoort, she was Supergirl on Smallville. Now she is a wolf somewhere. She's 30 years old. Billy Piper, yeah. Rose Tyler herself, one of my favorite companions. We were just talking about Doctor Who. Billy Piper, man, give me Billy Piper any day of the week.
The companions are hookers?
No, Kevin. The companions
are the
travelers who accompany Doctor Who on his adventures throughout the cosmos.
Okay, all right.
And Billy Piper played Rose Tyler, who was the first companion when they sort of rebooted the franchise, and Christopher Eccleston came in as the Doctor.
Sure.
And she also carried on with David Tennant as well.
Obviously,
Rose Tyler.
Right.
Bonnie Hunt, the actress, is 53 years old today. Scott Baio's 54. Joan Jett turns 56 years old. Nick Cave, one of my favorite singers, 57 years old. And Tommy Lasorda, Dodgers legend Tommy Lasorda, is 87.
Don't forget, say hello to Jane Biondi.
Don't forget to say hello to Jane Biondi. It's Tommy's birthday. He's 87. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Wait till this part.
No.
Okay, you're on.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Nick Frost, ladies and gentlemen, joining us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Nick, what's going on?
Hello, Americans.
Last time I want to say, and I don't have this in front of me, but the last time I want to say we talked to you was when you were Cuban furying it. You were dancing across the movie screen for us.
Yeah, I think that was like in March.
I think so.
So not very long at all.
Not too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, welcome back,
it's
sir.
It's nice to be back, you know. It's officially autumn, isn't it, now, in Britain? So I go home today, so when I land, it will essentially be...
It'll be
there'll be no leaves on the trees, and everyone will be wearing
like that,
Wellington
like,
boots.
They just flip a switch? Huh.
Yeah, it's as if the trees know, and they just shed overnight.
Yeah. Here, they know, and then they don't care. They stay the same all year round.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of talk of pumpkin spice over here, and the fact that fall's coming. It's like,
how does
it know? I mean, it's like a 1 degree change.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, it goes from 98 to 97. That's how you know it's autumn in L.A. Yeah. What's that like for you as a pasty Brit to be in a city like Los Angeles where it's 100 freaking degrees?
Yeah, it's tough, and people have been out for a couple of dinners the last few nights, and restaurants tend to get very upset when I take my pants off.
Well,
they kind of get really... It's all right, you kind of get used to it. But what I don't get used to is I went to dinner last night, and it was probably still, you know, 75 degrees in the evening, and people asked for the patio heaters to be put on. I'm like, you tripping, it's so hot. I want to take my shirt off, and they're having heaters on.
I'd be one of those.
Would you?
I totally would.
It just must be
what
you're used to, I guess.
Right. You get used
to it.
It must be.
Think,
but, but Lisa, could you eat if Nick were at the next table with his shirt off?
Absolutely. Plus, he'd be radiating heat my way.
Yeah.
So that would be helpful.
Yeah. I have a giant beard at this point, too,
for
a thing I'm doing. So this is not a summer beard.
No.
I usually have a cool summer beard, and this is my winter beard.
when you walked in, I thought, I did not know they were casting the Orson Welles story. I was a little bit surprised to see the new look, Nick.
I could be Orson Welles. I like, it's
or Sebastian Cabot.
I've got it for a job, so... I think in a few weeks it will be gone when that job finishes. Which
will it be gone as soon as possible? Is it driving you crazy?
I really like it, but I'm more and more now the thought is popping into my mind, shave it off.
Yeah.
And I can't ignore that.
Yeah.
It's getting louder.
You work a lot, don't you, Nick?
Yeah, I like it. I'm good at work. I kind of know work, and it's where I feel my happiest, I think.
And if I remember correctly, you're a guy who sort of fell into show business? Like it wasn't a plan of yours as a youngster?
It was not a plan, no. I've never really had a plan at all. I just kind of – what I have is a weird kind of Jiminy Cricket inside me that just says, it'll be all right.
You know, yeah. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I think if my son now as a three-year-old was to come to me at some point in the next 15 years and says, I have a thing in me that just says it's going to be all right, I'd probably want to choke him out. but yeah, I just, I was like, I just bummed around doing bad jobs and getting into adventures. And then I met Simon and Simon Pegg. And then, you know, I found a kind of soulmate in him and we'd make each other laugh. And then he got a job writing a show for Channel 4 called Spaced. And he said, I want you to come along and do it. And that was it, really. I never kind of looked back. I thought, I like this, and I like all the people I've met and the crews and the rest of the cast.
Did you not have the thought, like, at some point they're going to ask me to write, and then what do I do?
Well, I always wanted – I never wanted to be an actor, but I always wanted to be a writer.
You did, okay.
Yeah,
so that was
I wanted to be – I have a kind of weird romantic notion of being like a Russian novelist where I'm really cold all the time and in love and my heart hurts and eating a kind of watery potato gruel in my kind of windy garret in St. Petersburg.
That is a terrible dream.
I know, but, you know, I'm a humble man.
If you're good at Russia, why not make it something tolerable?
You're freezing.
Yeah. I wrote a book when I was 21. I lived in Israel for 2 years and I came back and fell in love with a girl and thought, I'm going to really impress you by writing a novel. Mm-hmm. So I wooed her by writing a novel, which was probably the worst novel that's ever been written by a human being.
Is it available?
No way.
Will it be available to us if we ask?
I have one. I have one, and I gave her one as a love token. And then about 3 weeks later, she left me.
Because she read the book.
I just love that Nick's aspirations are to just be cold and miserable and unhappy, and then a guy comes in and he beats me.
That's Europe. That's what we do.
How did you get involved with this project? Was this?
Oh, well, you know, if you do enough stuff, like, you know, everything I've done in the last 10 years, you get to a nice point where people just approach you and say, we would love you to come and do a voice in this. And that's what they did. And, you know, I met the lovely directors from Leica, and they showed me great pictures of my character, and they bring little statues in of him, and they kind of give you a kind of beautiful umbrella of, they say, do what you want, you know.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is great. So in
do you get any say in the character? You go, I'd like him to be a little...
Yeah, well, I think... You do an initial read of the thing.
Less forehead. Is that cool?
Yeah. Yeah. And then they film you doing it. And then from that, then they go and tweet what the character does.
Okay.
Which is kind of nice. So, I play a guy called Mr. Trout in Box Trolls, who's...
Explain Box Trolls for people.
Yeah, it's about... at the very beginning, a child goes missing. A child is stolen. The Trubshaw baby. And... This villain of the piece, played by lovely Sir Ben Kingsley, he persuades the rest of the town that these beautiful, timid little box trolls have taken this child.
Okay.
And his motivation is to get a white hat. If you have a white hat in this town where they live, Cheeseborough, that essentially means you're the top of the top of the town.
Are you on drugs right now?
I did a little breakfast LSD, as I do most days.
Okay,
and then I smoked a little... I did a line of weed in the toilet.
Okay.
Right. You know, don't do lines of weed anymore, do they?
It's based on a popular children's book called Here Be Monsters!
Yeah.
! And it does sound fantastical, but that's what some of the greatest children's books of all time are that way. I mean, you buy into this universe.
Look at Dr. Zeus, you know.
It's
crazy.
What an unbelievable voice cast, by the way. They don't let you anywhere near Sir Ben Kingsley, right? You don't get to actually hang out with him in person when you're taping this thing, do you?
No, he has he took out a legal writ, so I can't actually go within 100 yards of him.
I see it like you're in the hallway, and then all of a sudden security comes in, and they bump you to any room that's open, they just push you in.
Yeah.
And then Ben walks through and does his part, and then you're let out.
I met him for the first time the day before yesterday, which was really weird.
Really?
Yeah, and the only thing in my mind... Throughout the whole, you know, he's like an amazing actor.
Of course.
And, you know, you look at him and his career and you think,
he's one of the classic actors of all time.
Right. He's been knighted. And the only thing I could think of throughout my whole conversation with him was, don't call him Gandhi. that was the only thing on my mind. Please, Nick. If you're going to not do anything today, don't call him Gandhi.
And by the way, once you have that thought, Gandhi's right there, front and center.
I couldn't get it out of him. Yeah.
Toni Collette's voice is in the movie. Jared Harris, of course. Tracy Morgan, Simon Pegg, Elle Fanning. I mean, it's unbelievable. And, of course, Sir Ben Kingsley. We got to take a quick break. Nick Frost is here. The film is called The Box Trolls. It opens up everywhere this Friday, and you should see it. More in a moment with our guest right after this on K-Rock. The great Nick Frost in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His new film is called The Box Trolls, from the creators of Coraline and Paranorman, by the way. And why are we eating bugs? What's happening in the studio right now? Why are we eating worms and flies? And what the hell's going on, Nick?
Dave brought in bugs.
Yeah, I think in association with Box Trolls, they have a wonderful thing called the Bug Truck, which is driving around LA all week. And it gives human beings the chance to eat bugs, which I think is a great tie-in with the movie.
So Dave said, what do you want to eat? Do you want to eat, what are the three options that we have
here? Grasshoppers is one, I know.
Yeah, like a teriyaki glazed grasshopper, and I think there's like a worm quesadilla.
You ate the worm quesadilla.
I did. Something that I will probably regret for the rest of my life. For the rest of my short life.
You're an adventurous guy, though. I mean, that's one way to enjoy life is to say yes a lot,
okay,
right?
Okay, idiot is another word that some people would use.
You know, I think human beings probably sometime in the next 100 years will rely solely on bugs as our form of protein once we...
I hope to be dead by then.
Yeah.
Tell you that right now.
Yeah, I do too.
I do not enjoy eating bugs.
I think if they, if they found a way of mashing it up and making like a falafel style patty, probably be in.
As long as it doesn't have the legs and the little head looking at you with the little eyes, I don't need that.
I think any day where I wake up and have to eat something's thorax is it's a grim day for me.
Now, let me ask a movie geek question here, because I know that our listeners will want to hear what you know about this, Nick, and that is that in this age of doing the whole movie on someone's MacBook, this movie, Box Trolls, is completely old school stop motion animation, which is virtually extinct these days, right?
Yeah, I think it's a crazy way to make a film, personally. I mean, seeing how much effort, I watched the film the day before yesterday for the first time, and it's just the effort and the man hours, and it was like the longest credits I've ever seen, and thousands and thousands of people, and then you realize they just shot it on like a Canon 500D.
That's it.
Just something anyone could buy. Yeah, I think the invention of the 3D printer has made that job much easier. And they were saying to me that they had like in storage 1.3 million expressions.
That's
that they
crazy.
Use and change out. And
that's crazy.
Just, yeah.
Don't they get like an hour in and go, this sucks, let's do it an easier way?
Yeah, and then you realize that hour has essentially shot 0.05 set percent.
Well,
per
the
second.
Stop motion animation is how we made movies in the year 1900. I mean, this is literally where you move it like a millimeter and then take a picture and then move it another millimeter. And I heard that there's a scene of some waltzing in the Box Trolls that literally took 18 months.
Yeah, it's like
for them to shoot, and it's 2 minutes in the movie.
Yeah, that's it. It's crazy. I mean,
the people made this film made some horrible choices, Nick.
Yeah, I think they should probably never work again.
if it's successful, then they have to do it again.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of beauty in that stop motion too. And I think in this day and age of very beautiful, very slick computer animated graphics, i.e., you know, Toy Story and planes and, you know,
the stuff that looks good.
And it looks beautiful, and I think it's amazing. But this is something else, and I think there's an age of person now, I think probably between 10 and 15, who have never perhaps seen stop motion before.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I think it's really beautiful. I'm a big fan of like the old Sinbad films, and when you see Sinbad fighting six skeletons, that's stop motion, you know. And you never once thought, oh, he looks rubbish. You just think, that man's fighting skeletons.
So everything that we see in the Box Trolls, every single character, every single set, every single prop exists in real life then.
Yeah, they build sets. They build beautiful, massive, intricate sets. And then put in, you know, kind of 2-foot-high models of all the characters. And they, that's how they shoot the thing. It's an amazing sequence where the main little kid and his box troll friends are slide. They make an escape from my character and Sir Ben's character, and they kind of make an escape by sliding down the roofs of the houses in the town.
Right,
and it goes on for ages, and that was all done physically. You think, what a thing! What a thing that someone would spend 50 years doing. They started making this film. 1924 was the first day of production.
And a lot of times the animator would die, but he would pass that work on to his son, right?
It was like when they kind of built St. Paul's Cathedral. You know, the son right. of the stonemason would start exactly. as a young child. And
we are talking to actor Nick Frost about his film called The Box Trolls. It opens up everywhere on Friday. Hey, Kevin, let's play that clip from the trailer, and then we got to ask Nick about something else he's on to share.
They transform treasures into incredible inventions, careful never to be seen.
Who's there?
By human eyes.
I want every box troll gone.
Who are you, boy?
I'm a box troll.
Then let's see you fit in your box.
Mm-hmm.
Please help us.
Box troll, come out, come out.
No more hiding, right?
Right. I will destroy every last box troll in this town.
37 years that clip took.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And you weren't in it at all, right, Nick?
Sorry?
Were you in
that? You
were
not
in the clip at all, right?
No.
All right.
Too.
That's how we roll.
Which is good.
That's how we roll.
Good for us. They have a credit on the end of the credit sequence in Box Trolls, and it says Box Trolls Babies, which they do quite a lot. My son appears on one of the Ice Age. But unlike the Ice Age Box Trolls Babies, you know, where there's like five.
Right.
Box Trolls Babies, there's like 1,000 credits.
Okay.
Where wow. over the last 30 years, there's been like 1,000 children born of the animators. And
all right. You are going to be on the Doctor Who Christmas special. Ralph just announced this late-breaking news about a half an hour ago on the show.
Yeah.
We had not heard that before this morning. I know, I'm sure, with the secrecy around that show, you can't say much about it. But talk to me about what it's like for you, a Brit, growing up with Doctor Who, to now be on Doctor Who.
It's kind of amazing. And there's what they do is when you start pre-production, they insert a tiny bomb into your neck. And if you say too much, Stephen Moffat just sets it off.
Oof. Boom.
Yeah.
That seems fair.
Wait, that can happen now?
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah, it doesn't matter where I am internationally. It just. But yeah, I'm thrilled, you know. I really like Doctor Who and growing up as a child and hearing the noise of the TARDIS and that amazing title sequence music. And, you know, I don't think anyone's kind of done it as good as those guys, even in the 70s and 80s when I grew up watching it. And as a child, I had a sense that it was kind of a bit rubbish in terms of the monsters and things. You believed it. You suspended your disbelief and you went with it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Peter Capaldi's amazing as Doctor Who. And
he is great.
I think it's a tough job to take over from Matt Smith because people really love Matt, but he's smashing it, and I love it. And, you know, to have a chance to someone, they say, come and be the guest lead on Doctor Who. It was,
and then you're going to be the next Doctor, right?
And then potentially the next Doctor. Yeah, I mean, I'm really pleased, and it's that thing. I purposely didn't go on the TARDIS because I didn't want to go on, you know, I wanted to hold back. And then, like, last Friday, I did a scene with Peter, and he took me round and showed me what all the buttons and instruments do. It was fantastic.
That's awesome.
Wow.
That is awesome.
I took a selfie of me and Peter, and I look about eight, just kind of just really smiling.
Well, congratulations on that. That is that's very, very exciting. What else is on your wish list as an actor that you're one day hoping to do? I mean, I don't know what you're if you want to be in a James Bond movie or what do you want to do?
I'd love to be in a James Bond movie. I always thought I'd like to be a villain. I imagine me being kind of a very rich German industrialist. And
you have a villain beard.
Thank
sort
you. Yeah. Yeah. I'd have like a giant scar down my face.
I
thought I'd only wear like a gold Speedo. And then hit the up.
I like it less.
My kicker is I'd have like a hyena on a chain. And that would be my thing. Oh! Oh dear, Dr. Bond. That kind of. I've always wanted to be that guy.
Or just a grumpy house cat, one of the two.
Yeah, well, they're all good. Or a picture of a cat on an iPad.
You don't hear a lot of people that want a hyena.
Yeah. I don't know. You know,
ugly, ugly animal.
I think I'm really lucky doing what I do and getting the jobs I do. And I think I've also never had a problem with saying no to things, you know.
Okay, how about eating these bugs then?
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
you know,
if Hollywood is listening, we got your next Bond villain right here in Nick Frost.
Oh, Bollywood. Call. I'd go to Bollywood.
Sure.
Oh, there you go.
You can dance. You learned to dance for Cuban Fury. Why waste that? You might as well use that again.
Yeah.
Right?
Listen, I'm an actor for hire. I've got a young family, so I'll go to any of the woods.
I love it. Hey, let me share this information as we say goodbye to Mr. Nick Frost. Again, the film is called The Box Trolls. It opens up everywhere this Friday. If you would like to eat like the box trolls, the truck where the bugs came from is going to be on Wilshire Boulevard today between 1 and 2:30. It's going to be at 5948 Wilshire Boulevard. If you want to stop by and try some gourmet bugs, you can do that. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Nick, great to see you again, my friend. Thanks so much for coming in.
A pleasure.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 941.
How cool is that Nick Frost, by the way?
He is
the best.
He is
the coolest,
cool.
Right?
And his buddy, Simon Pegg, is also very cool.
Always great.
Their friend, Edgar Wright, also very cool.
Not
they're
a big
all
fan
awesome.
Of him. Not a big fan.
They're very nice
I
men.
I mean, yeah, they're all
they're
great.
Smart and funny, and they are better than you.
Oh, no question about that.
Yeah.
That is true. We don't need enough reasons to feel bad about ourselves. All right, it's 9:42. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
I want to give people some heads up. People have been asking me about the Long Beach Comic-Con coming up this weekend. What my schedule is for that event. I will be attending this weekend. I am doing a panel on Saturday. Okay. Doing a 75th anniversary Batman panel. They've asked me to be one of the guests on there, which is very cool. On Sunday, I'm doing another panel where we talk about the 1960s Batman TV series as well as the new comic book that I have written. And then on Saturday afternoon, I am signing that same comic book, the Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet comic book. We're doing a signing there at the convention. So you can go to Long Beach ComicCon.com for more information, and love to see you down there this weekend.
You mean the NerdCon at the convention center?
Yes, that's the one. Saturday and Sunday down there at the Long Beach Convention Center. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Maze Runner, in its debut, did $32.5 million. Very impressive. And we have a new franchise, boys and girls, because the sequel is already being greenlit, so it's good to know that they're working on that, and it'll be out next year. A Walk Among the Tombstones, in its debut, did $13.1 million, made it number two. This Is Where I Leave You, in its debut, made almost $12 million, good enough to make it number three. No Good Deed, Dolphin Tale 2. Those are your top five movies. The Box Office, Guardians of the Galaxy, Let's Be Cops, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Drop, If I Stay. Those are your top 10 movies.
Those turtles sure have some staying power, don't they?
They do.
Jeez.
They're heroes on a half shell.
They are. That's what I hear. It's been in the top 10 a long time.
You know what kind of power they have?
Turtle power!
That's the kind of power they have.
Comes to life.
It does. So you talk about the Ninja Turtle.
Wow.
Beer Mug wakes right up. Hey, Beer Mug, there's a big box of bug food over there if you're still hungry.
No, I got a vending machine food that's actually not bugs.
So. Huh.
Oh, it doesn't seem as fun.
Dave, the King of Mexico, goes, whoa, would you like some of this? I said, it's just, there are bugs on a stick.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, go to eat. I said, what? Food still exists, though, right?
We still have that option.
There's still food around somewhere, right? I don't have to start eating bugs yet.
You're not on Survivor, where you're in a desert, and this is literally the only option.
I said, it's fun. It's not fun.
It's
bugs
fun,
on a stick.
Ralph.
Those are bugs on a stick.
We'll do it together. It'll be fun.
There are worms in the quesadilla. Well, that sounds like a reason you would call the authorities.
Can I have a quesadilla without worms, please?
I would take down their bee out of their window if I went to a Mexican food restaurant and found that to be the case. It's dumb. Bug food.
Is it also stupid and absurd?
It is. It's dumb, it's stupid, and absurd. Kim Kardashian.
Who?
Porn star Kim Kardashian. One of the celebrities caught in the second wave of the stolen photo scandal brewing over there.
It's Kim Kardashian West.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Wow.
Porn star Kim Kardashian West. She was one of the victims of this nude selfie phenomenon. As I mentioned, this is the second batch of celebrities who've had their photos stolen from them. Kate Bosworth, Vanessa Hudgens, Lake Bell, Mary-Kate Olsen, Avril Lavigne, Hayden Panettiere, Lily Sobieski, Gabrielle Union, and Hope Solo all like to take naked pictures of themselves. They were all stolen.
As well they should, by the way.
You got to think Kim's were leaked, though, right? She's probably looked around and said, all these other girls are getting a lot of attention.
Somebody get my photos leaked.
Someone just send out naked pictures of me, please, so they're talking about me, too. Can't have them not talking about me.
So we're not sure who leaked hers. But the other people looks as if they had stolen photos. They
super
were, they were
big
up,
boobies.
Yeah, big boobies. They were up on 4chan and Reddit, but apparently they were quickly removed from both sites. So even if you want to find them, and don't look for them, it's just bad. It's bad form. You don't have to do that. These are stolen property, and this is a bad precedent. Let's not support it.
This content is currently unavailable.
Yeah, let's make that content unavailable. It's official. CBS has picked up the DC Comics Supergirl series.
Woo! Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! Supergirl and CBS. Every network now is going to have a comic book superhero show. It's crazy. They've announced that it will be Supergirl when she's 24. Up until now, she has hidden her powers since she escaped from the planet Krypton before it was destroyed. And then apparently she finds it necessary to expose her powers to the world. So,
Ralph,
apparently they show
me
up on 4chan or Reddit. So her powers are exposed, and that's why she has to come public.
Forgive me if this is an ignorant origin Supergirl question, but did she escape from Krypton the same time as Superman?
No.
Just in separate capsules?
They were separate capsules. It's a long story, but depending on which version of her origin you come from, she's either from Argo City or the bottled city of Kandor, depending on which version you're talking about.
Sure.
But she was pretty much similar. At the same time, she was, yes, jettisoned off the rock at the same time.
I thought they were both trying to get out before the planet blew up.
Yes, of course. And actually, Kara-El was actually older than Kal-El, is the older cousin. But she was in suspended animation and took her longer to get to Earth.
Ah,
so by the
time
she gets to Earth, she is actually younger than Superman is.
That's why I was confused.
Okay,
gotcha.
That
makes sense.
See what I'm saying?
Not really.
Because it's a female driver thing. She got lost on the way to Earth, and she.
It's the Lisa May thing.
It's Lisa May. She was in a Prius rocket, and it just took her a while to figure out how to get to Earth. So she was,
now, do we know who's going to be playing Supergirl on the CBS show?
No word yet on the casting of Superman's cousin, but we're
Betty
all
White.
We're all very excited. It could be Betty White. Yes,
it's a good choice.
I always liked Laura Vandervoort. I always liked her. Mm-hmm. She was Supergirl on Smallville. I always enjoyed her on that.
All right.
And how appropriately she kicks off today's celebrity birthdays. Laura Vandervoort, Supergirl herself, 30 years old today. Draco Malfoy, Tom Felton from the Harry Potter films, he is 27 years old. Tatiana Maslany is 29. Billy Piper, she was Rose Tyler from Doctor Who, 32 years old. Bonnie Hunt is 53. Scott Baio, 54. Joan Jett, 56 years old. Nick Cave is 57. And Tommy Lasorda.
Woo! Go Dodgers and fire beer mug.
There you go. He's 87.
That was Beer Mug's mom, I believe.
That was Beer Mug's mother. Yeah. Yeah. Tommy, 87 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, we're going to take calls from people who have stupid neighbor wars based on Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
And... Or Roberts.
Roberts.
What? Julia Roberts.
Oh, is it Julia Roberts?
Yeah.
I didn't see that the whole time
I was thinking about Julia Roberts?
The whole time.
You thought it was someone else?
The entire time.
Hmm.
So it's Julia Roberts. Let me make a note.
And what is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
They were fighting over dinosaurs the way you remember it, right?
Yeah.
Roberts, right. She was into tigers. I don't remember the animals, but they were fighting over...
I don't remember who or what. They were fighting. I remember that. Over...
She loved seagulls, and somebody else brought in falcons.
That's
I don't know.
Right,
I don't understand
Kevin.
The whole
story. Actually, you have some of the details correct.
F you. Also in studio tomorrow, Chloe
Julia
Bennett.
Child, right? Julia Child? The chef?
We'll see you tomorrow.